Good morning and welcome to our session. We'll begin with our invocation. It's a pleasure to be able to call on one of our colleagues, and that's Monsieur Jones Hill. Ms. Hill, please rise for the invocation.
Gracious and almighty God, God of yesterday, God of today, and God of tomorrow, God of the universe, but God who knows each of us personally and by name. We pause now before your awesome and magnificent presence to give you praise and thanks. We praise you because you're God, and we thank you because you have brought us this far on the way. God, as we begin this another city council meeting, I pray that you pour out upon us wisdom and courage. And God, I pray for every person who can hear my voice, whether in this room or through the media. I pray that you touch each person where he or she needs your touch the most. Heal, encourage, embrace, love. Let everyone know that they can make it through another day. This is our prayer.
Mr. Margolin, did you lead the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Last week, unfortunately, we lost an officer of the Dallas Police Department, Kevin Marceau. There will be a funeral this morning at 10 o'clock. As a result of that, what we will do is we recess our meeting now. We'll pick it back up at 1 o'clock. So our meeting is recessed until 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Recess at 9:06.
Good morning. I am Mayor Pro Tem Dwayne Carraway, joined by my colleagues, the Honorable Jerry Allen. Jerry, come on up here. Special day. The Honorable Tanel Atkins. Come on, Tanel. I just saw Honorable Pauline Madrona. Let me just say, it gives me great pleasure and pride to be here this morning. Seeing all these young faces that we're going to be talking to shortly, and we're going to be recognizing, and we're going to be touring City Hall, and we're going to be teaching and showing you all how to get to where Councilman Atkins and Councilman Jerry Allen are. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like a legacy. Now, how many of you all love to go to the State Fair? Woo! I'm telling you. How many of you all have been going to the State Fair all your life? Woo! And how many of you have been eating those good old funnel cakes? See, there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Well, they had a corny dog, the turkey legs, but it's nothing like the funnel cake and some toast. Okay.
All
right. Yeah.
I grew up with cheese toast.
You grew up with cheese toast. Jerry, how about you?
No, love
this is a show. And the reason Jerry and I and Snell, we put on a show.
That's right.
Because when it's time to recognize, you got to have fun and appreciation while you're doing it all. And today, and you're on TV today, too. You're on TV. So y'all make sure you got your hair straight and comb everything. We got to get this together. You know, I was at the fair, and I went through this little place. I'll tell y'all this little story. I went through this little place on the corner, on the back side of the fair, about Food Fiber, all back in that area. And I stepped in this building, and they had a grilled cheese. And I'm saying, grilled cheese at the fair? Now, I've heard of everything, but grilled cheese. And so I said, let me have one of these grilled cheese sandwiches. This is what I want. I want to try this grilled cheese. And I'm going to tell you something, Jerry, this grilled cheese, it wasn't just a regular grilled cheese like I make it, or my wife, or anybody, my mother, anybody make it. This was a special type of bread and a grilled cheese. And with the grilled cheese, Janelle, you normally have, you know, you thought you're going to have some french fries, they had some little shoestring potatoes, so it had a great presentation to it. And so I fell in love with the grilled cheese. And then the funnel cake came about. And they were back there just all fixing all kind of funnel cakes, and they got this this line, how it goes here first and it comes here and they do something. So it kind of builds you up to what you're about to get because you're seeing so much preparation goes into it this day. But what really hit me, Jerry, was that this little lady came out. I'd never met her before. And she was there, and she recognized who I was, because, you know, the people that were back there working, they said, oh, that's Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, that's Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. And so this little lady came out and introduced herself, and it just hit me, because the lady that I'm talking about, hey, she has silver hair, and she may be one of your silver foxes, so I got to watch you. And she introduced herself, and we began to talk. And we talked about the history of how long she had been there, and she's a concessionaire. She was the owner and the founder of all this grilled cheese and these fantastic funnel cakes. And, you know, I just fell in love with that lady. I said, you know, you are the hidden secret. You are the best hidden secret in the State Fair of Texas. And it only, I'm telling you, and I said to her on that evening, Mr. Gray, I said, you got to come down. I got to make sure everybody know you. We got to make sure your television, we got to make sure we let folks know how great it is, how appreciative that we are. And to the young fellows and young ladies that's with us today, let me say that the lady that you are about to see, you can one day do the same thing. That's why we want to put this presentation first, so that you can know that there are great things ahead of you, young folks. Great things that you can do and great things that you can accomplish. Great things that you can grow up to become and great contributions that you can make back to your community and to the society of the world and the United States of America. But you can't do it without a commitment and hard work. It was not easy for this lady to just be there making these good funnel cakes and all this grilled cheese and all these great things that she's doing, because she's been there for a number of years. It was not always easy. It was not always profitable. But she had a committed heart, and she did it, and she's still there. Let me just do this first. I want to read something. But first, before I read it, I guess I'd better introduce you all to this lady so that y'all can see how beautiful she is. And let me say this. She's the best dressed lady in the city of Dallas, too. I want you to know that. She's the very best dressed. Now, when you come up, I want you to make sure you watch these two guys. I don't want them trying to get, watch myself here. You are welcome. This beautiful entrepreneur, pillar of Dallas, entrepreneur of the State Fair of Texas, and I want each and every one of you to go and find her place on next year and every year from then forward. You are welcome, Miss Wanda Locke Winner. Miss Winner, come on up here, sister. Come on up here, sister. Come on up here. Miss Winner, how you doing? All right. It's just the beginning. I would like to take this opportunity and read. Jerry,
yeah.
Won't you join me? You read. I'm going to stand here and protect her from today. I'm going to protect her over here from today.
All right. Well, I'm gonna read just a little bit of it and start it off. This says City of Dallas. City of Dallas, eighth largest city in the free world. Eighth largest city in the free world. Special recognition. Special recognition. Whereas Londa Winter, a native of Dallas, Texas, grew up in East Dallas. What part? Where at?
Terry Street.
All right.
Right here in East Dallas. And whereas Wanda Winter, along with her husband John, began working at the beef parlor at the State Fair of Texas in 1968. I graduated from high school in 1968. Yeah. And whereas, and there's a lot of whereases when we read these proclamations, whereas in 1970 they bought the concession and changed the name to the Dock, which provides 75 individuals additional employment each year, and whereas Wanda Locke Winter developed the Dock into one of the leading food vendors at the State Fair, by being the first concession stand to sell nachos. And whereas in 1980, Wanda introduced the funnel cakes to the fair. Fernie's funnel cakes, after Wanda's middle name became a fair favorite. And, Tanelle, come here.
I want you to.
Come on here, Tanelle.
All right, right here.
Get it in. You got it. You got it.
Whereas, in 2009, the Dot won the Big Test Choice Award for the best tasting new fur food. And first, in the front of prize, Peaches and Queen, along with one of the NBC Global Local Award in 2009 for funnel cake. And whereas Wonderlock Winners had been a longtime contributor to the youth livestock auction at the State Fair, she also donated extra food from her concession to the various homeless shelters and food banks. And whereas Wonderlock Winners, along with her husband John and four beautiful daughters, three son-in-law, six grandchildren, and nine great-grandchildren, three generations have worked at the family business at the State Fair of Texas. And,
well, I better get over here and make this official. And whereas over 40 years, Wonderlock Winners have specialized in serving the State Fair of Texas great first, great test tasting food with even better hospitality at the dock. Remember, she came out and met me, and that's hospitality. I want you all to know, interact with your customers, and that's exactly what Ms. Wonderlock Winners has done. Therefore, I, Dwayne Carraway, I want you to make sure we understand that. Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Dallas, on behalf of our Mayor Tom Leppert and the entire Dallas City Council, we do buy. Extend special recognition to the Honorable Miss Wonderlock Winners for four decades of great food at the State Fair of Texas.
All right.
Come on up here.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being here and thank the State Fair for letting me stay there.
Well, they said not that you called me.
I call you and tell you I know you.
There you go.
But I, and through all these years, my daughters have helped me, my son-in-laws have helped me, my grandchildren, but now I'm going to go to my great-grandkids. So I've enjoyed every minute and enjoyed all the people that I get to see when I go there. I don't go as much as I used to, but I do go and I enjoy it. And that's why I saw he looked so dapper, and I thought, who is that dapper looking man there? So I walked up in it, and some of his bank mates work for me. I think so. But that's right. So this is a grand feast day for me, and thank you for coming.
All right. Can we get the daughters to come and take a picture? Come on, daughters and family. We're going to take a picture. We're going to take a picture with Mom. Got this. Bring those two up here on up in. All right. If we can forget the rock. Tell you what, this is indeed, you know, such a special day. You know, normally what we do, we always have our proclamations over here in what we call the briefing room. Y'all were able to see that just briefly in a
what it is, most all of our city council has left going to the funeral. We've had a fallen police officer. He was injured in the line of duty many years ago, and he passed away. And we debated on whether to call this off and whether to continue with it. But at the end of the day, these two gentlemen standing beside me, we came to the conclusion that the motto of our police department is to protect and serve. It's to protect and serve. And that's what they do, protect and they serve. They protect and they serve. And we knew that that fallen officer at the end of the day, he was standing right here, he'd say, you go on with this. You got special people out there you need to pray and say good things about. You go on with it. We knew that. And so that's why we're doing this today. Because it's all about serving. That's what it's about. Talking about serving, I'm going to say real quick, I got these two old buddies beside me right here. Man, we've been through it, haven't we? We have. You name it, we've done it. I can tell you things. We've had drumline contests. We've had boxing matches and all that good thing. But we stand side by side. These are my buddies. These are my buddies like this. They've heard me talk a lot about the kids that I've got out in my neck of the woods. They talk all the time about the kids they got out in their neck of the woods. They talk all about it. They brag on them. I brag on my kids that we got out there. Well, I tell you what, it didn't take too long to start looking around. And I've got a special school. I've got a special school among my schools. Aldea Creek Elementary.
What's the name of it?
Aldea Creek Elementary. The Stallions. Aldea Creek Elementary. The Stallions.
That's
Stallions. Aldea Creek. I tell you what, if I could have my Stallions kind of just come and sit right here in front of me.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
Y'all Stallions, y'all down here. Y'all can just stand right here in front like this. This is good. This is good. And what this is, what I've got beside me, is I've got some young men, and I tell you what, they may, you talk about making us proud out in my neck of the woods. These young men right here, after school, they got involved in something called flag football. We've got Officer Smith. He's taking a picture right there. He contacted me not too long ago and told me about this special program. Officer Smith, take that picture. Officer Smith, come up here.
Come
here. This man right here. This man right here. Officer Smith, come here, and I want you to tell us a little bit about what you've got going on, what you've done, and what these kids have accomplished.
Well, not so much what I've done. It's more or less the cooperation with the school. Principal Mike Savage over there and his staff, very cooperative. I've known Mr. Savage for some years back when he was at Hamilton Park Elementary. And just had a few issues in the area with children. Maybe not having the right direction. So I approached our chief, Gloria Perez, about possibly doing some kind of initiative after school with the children to give them something to do, some positive reinforcement. And the staff at the school came up with the name PASS, and we decided we'd do football, approach you about helping us finance it, and we were able to do an after-school program for football and mentorship for the children. And I think it's been a real good experience to show us in a different light as police officers that we're not just here to put people in jail, but we're also friends of the community, friends of all people, to show another side of us. And I think hopefully that'll plant some seeds in their minds that we're just like anybody else and we want the best for them. And I'm just trying to get some positive friendship built at a young age with these children, because hopefully these are the leaders of tomorrow. So we want them to have a positive outlook on law enforcement. So that's where we are.
All right. Well, there's no question they're leaders of tomorrow. Mr. Savage, could you come up here also? While Mr. Savage comes up, Mr. Savage, he is the principal of Aldea Creek Elementary.
All right.
Not only is he the principal, of Aldea Creek Elementary, last year the Richardson Independent School District, that's what this school is in, Richardson Independent School District, of all the fine schools, name this gentleman right here as Principal of the Year. And now, as Principal of the Year, would you tell me a few things about these kids that you got right here and what you got here?
My boys, they've been awesome this year. They work hard every day. Mr. Skinner, can you bring the notes up so we can use the notes?
I've got the notes.
Okay. But anyway, these guys have worked hard. They would come every, what did we play, every Wednesday, guys? Yeah, every Wednesday we'd come out and we'd have football and so forth. And one of the things that we ask them to do is to be examples in the school, and they have been examples for all the other kids in the schools as we went along. We asked the kids what they thought about the program, so I'm going to read a few things with what they thought about the program and how they liked the program. An exciting way to become physically active. I really enjoyed the competition between the two teams. It allowed us to compete against each other as well as exercise. And that was from Travion. Creativity. Before the creativity. Before the program started, I really didn't have much experience in playing football. The games allowed me to practice and become better at a sport that was pretty new to me. I will continue to practice the moves that I learned, and that was from Ernesto. Another thing, a healthy side of self-confidence. Everyone was out there having fun and trying to win. Even if someone made a mistake, we didn't get upset. We continued to play through it and didn't allow anyone to get down on themselves, and that came from Alex. And then the next one is camaraderie. I hated to leave my friends at the end of the day, but I accepted it because I knew that we would see each other again and play the next week. And that came from Samantha Lee.
All right.
Mr. Skinner and Coach Rowe and Ms. Haynes, backyard counselor, they were there every week with us, helping the kids, making sure that we did a good job. Officer Bourbon and the volunteers were there, and they did an excellent job of keeping us supplied with dinners as well as positive encouragement, and we really appreciated all the help because I think the kids enjoyed it, and we really, all of us enjoyed it.
What a. I tell you what, Principal of the Year, you know why after hearing that man's passion. Principal of the Year and the staff and what y'all have done, I tell you what, I read your notes and what you had to say, and it just inspiring because I know where these kids are going to go with y'all's leadership that you've got. Aldea Creek Elementary, the Stallions.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I'm the Mayor Pro Tem.
Mayor Pro Tem, Dwayne Carraway, number two man.
I'm Mayor Pro Tem.
Sometimes you have to take charge here. And as Jerry Allen, our council member, one of the greatest council members of District 9 has ever had. Here's the deal. Let me say this, and I want each and every one of you to hear, and Brother Principal and all of you, I want you all to know that everything that he's said and all the accolades that he has given, and because this program is moving forward as it is, it's because this council member is committed to kids and to the community and to our future. I want you all to know that we stand very proud here beside Jerry Allen. And this is what it's all about. It's about making sure that we take care of Dallas today, but that we grow Dallas tomorrow, and that we change the lives of young men, because these guys, one of them, may be the mayor, may be the governor, may be the president of the United States. All of them are going to go over there to the dock and buy some of those.
Every one of them going
to the dock.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal with that. If we do not have folks like Jerry making sure that these bright futures are protected, and through the principal and the hard work and dedication of the teachers and through our police department, you guys are the ones that are the real reason for the season. Now, here's the deal. If we do not have Mr. Allen's intervention at this point, then they won't get a chance to finish high school. They won't get a chance to live a quality of life. And they won't even be able to go to the fair and go to the dock. Now, we have to make sure that through this heart right here, and I beat on his heart because this is my guy right here. He has been with the kids every step of the way. And as he concludes his proclamations and presentations, I want you to know, as he read it, he's reading it from his heart. He's reading it because, number one, he's reading what he feels. And both Tanel Atkins and I stand here lockstep, right here with him, because we know he's sincere.
All right. Well, thank you for those kind words.
Let me tell you what. We're going to wrap this up. But before we do, I've got a gentleman standing right here beside me. Councilman Tanel Atkins. He's got a story,
and one that he can tell you, and he's going to tell you, gentlemen, he's going to tell you just a little tippet of his story. But as he's telling you, I want you to know this man went on and was one of the finest football players at SMU. At one time, this gentleman, he's going to tell you just a tippet of his story, but at one time, he was the world's fastest man. World's fastest man. He's going to tell you where he grew up and how he got where he got today. So now share that story with you.
Thank you, Jerry. You know, you got to praise Jerry Allen. You know, he talked about you. He talked about team sport. He talked about commitment. And just a tip of the story is that Jerry did not give the background. This is where I came from. You know, flag football. Opportunity to work together. So when you do come together as a team, you understand how the building blocks have everything work. You got to be the team player on the council. Someone got to be the leader. Someone got to be the quarterback. You got to be the team player when you make those cheese bread and those cheese sandwiches. Because someone got to make the cheese. Everything got to come together. And when you come together, you got to say, who is the leader? So you learn. This is a learning experience to get you prepared for the future. And just like Pro Tem Carway said, this could get you prepared to be the mayor, to be the governor, to be the president. But it's come to the principal, to do this as a council person, to keep you out of trouble. But what Jerry's doing is he building a community, but he also building leadership, Jerry. And I thank you to build leadership through sports in education, working hands in hand. And that's what brought me here today, through sports and education, and someone reaching out to help you. Jerry, we want to reach out and give you a hand for you to reach out back to the community to bring these people here today. Again, thank you.
And we're going to read this proclamation, but also what we're going to do, Councilman Atkins, he reaches out to all these kids that are out there. Last year he had a special one. He took up. How many kids did you take to SMU football game?
12,000.
12,000 kids. And y'all going to go. I know Councilman Atkins is going to make sure.
The school will put on the list.
They're going to make sure. Y'all going to go to watch the SMU football game, Councilman Atkins. Because, again, y'all look at this man.
You're about the same size I am.
But at one time, he was the world's fastest man.
In the hurdles.
In the hurdles. World's fastest man. Started just the way you guys did on flag football. And look at him today. Dallas City Councilman. Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all help me read this proclamation. This is from the office of the mayor, City of Dallas. It's a proclamation. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem, would you be so kind to start this off?
Well, let me get over here now. What's the name of the school y'all going to do? All right, say it with a little heart. Let me hear it again. All right. Whereas Project Positive, Seeking Success, Project Pass, was initiated at the beginning of 2010-2011 school year as an after-school youth development program. And whereas Project Pass's mission has been to cultivate and foster a community where today's youth are contributing members of our society.
Whereas youth are the future of our country, and Project PSSS has made a commitment to foster our youth by creating a program that allows them to take all their energy and use it in a positive environment. And whereas Project PASS has been alone to provide 22 young men with opportunity to make a difference in their community while teaching them the importance of remaining physical fit through flag football. And
whereas it takes a lot of people's working together to make a program such as Project PASS succeed, and whereas the Dallas Police Department Northeast Division has been instrumental in creating a strong foundation and opening a door of opportunity and success for each and every one of these fine young men, and whereas a special thank you is extended to all of the volunteers and sponsors who have made Project PASS a success. Your work and outstanding leadership has touched the lives of each and every one of these young men, and I commend you for making an investment in their future. Now, therefore, I, Tom Leppard, Mayor, City of Dallas, on behalf of the entire Dallas City Council,
do hereby proclaim Wednesday, January the 19th, 2011, as Project Pass Day. Project Pass Day.
City of Dallas. All right. I'm going to give this a treat. I hope you can do it.
We just need to get us some pictures and put this in prosperity. So we're going to come together right here and see if we can't get some pictures.
All right.
Thank you. I'll just come on in, but this is how you've got the microphones and stuff, and when we want to talk, all we do is sit there and talk straight into it. When we vote, y'all can sit down, so go ahead and pull that up. You want to sit behind your seat. Behind your seat. And look at there, look at there.
Yeah.
Every guy sitting over here too. I got 12. We got 12 of them. Yeah, you are, I think. Hey, y'all open up the gym, see if you got a vote. Y'all open up the gym, see if you got a vote.
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Where's signing?
Hey,
is this future leaders or what?
Signing?
Yeah. Is this future leaders or what? The guy sits here like y'all visualize yourself. Y'all visualize yourself 10, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. Visualize yourself sitting in a situation like this where you're in trouble. Where you're in trouble. I'll say one thing. Hey, y'all remember this here. Y'all remember we were talking about the ability to serve and how we've got folks out there, adults that are helping us along the way. But remember, when y'all go back to school, you know, that's where you guys got to help those little kids coming up. Y'all got to be the leaders. Y'all got to be the leaders. Lead those young kids that are coming up. Show them the right direction. Show them what it's like to be a stallion and then eventually go all the way up to be a ram. Show them what it's like. That's what. You always got somebody that's going to help you. Well, y'all make sure y'all help all those other little kids coming up. That's so important. That's so important. I'll say it again. I am so proud of you kids for what y'all done, for what you've accomplished. But I'm more proud. I already know what you're going to do. I see your face. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. The school that you got is unlimited what you can do. But you know that you go through the Richardson School, it's time and time again. Just like, you know, little boy that flies the space shuttle. He's a graduate of Richardson School. The guy that flies the space shuttle. He goes on and on and on about all the great graduates we got. And all you got to do is fly yourself. And then as you're flying yourself, you're going to succeed. But never forget along the way. Put your hand out and hit that next kid coming up. Put your hand out and hit that next kid coming up. Well, again, I'm so proud that y'all came down to City Hall. So proud that we're able to give y'all a proclamation. And when y'all go back out there today to all these three, y'all let them know, just tell them went out there how proud I am. And if I ever see y'all in the hallways, y'all be sure to wave to me, all right? And I'll say it one more time. I'm so proud of you for what you've done to your staff. You guys, your staff. So, yeah, let's give them a hand.
Alex Hudson.
I know it never goes down, but man, I hope it was worth it. All right. Y'all look like him. Y'all look like him. I'm proud of y'all.
Troy.
Yeah.
Troy.
Yeah, boy.
Get out of my seat.
Testing.
Testing. That's how all the ones
testing.
Testing. Is that cool or what? That's how we watch it. That's how TV comes out.
Merlin.
Hey, the mic's still on. No, it's not. My mic is on. Hey. Hey. My mic is on. Mine is too.
Hello?
Hey. Hello? Simon. Simon. My mic is on.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Texting.
Hello.
Texting.
Hello.
Texting.
Hello.
Echo. Echo. Hello?
Braylon.
Testing. Braylon.
Testing.
Braylon.
Testing.
Testing. Testing. Testing. Testing. Testing. Testing.
Testing. Testing. Testing. Testing.
Ernesto. Jay, pay attention. Jay. 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 Jay.
No, swear to God. That was your arm.
Carrington is on TV. Who's holding that? Who's holding the jacket?
Oh, Miss Haynes. Hello. Hello.
Ew.
Testing. It's you.
Can I speak? I am officially the mayor of the United States of America.
One minute.
Mine won't turn on.
That it wasn't.
Oh. Yes, one minute.
Testing. Mr. Mayor, how old are you?
12.
12?
12.
And you the mayor of the city of Dallas?
12. Yes.
How'd you get there so quick? Well, through education, number one, you're still in school. But Jerry, this is a great opportunity, Jerry.
Yes.
Councilman Atkins, you're doing a great job at this rate. Keep it up. Keep it up, Councilman.
Jerry
Adams, District 10, you're doing a great job over there.
Quiet, Alex.
1, 2, 3. You're doing a great job.
On. Alexander Watkins, quiet. Now.
Mine's not working. It's not working.
Alexander Washington is officially in the building for you.
How are we going to handle this budget?
Sit down now.
Call security.
Troy Hurd, be quiet. Security.
All right.
One, two.
Hello? No?
Oh.
Security?
Yeah. We got turned on.
Alexander Washington.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. Today we have a special recognition for Home for Holidays. And I think we have some pictures we want to show you. I guess we got a technical difficulty wrong. Can you handle it? No, you're the boss.
But anyway,
you ready, Ben? This is the fourth annual Home for the Holidays, and these are the things that I've been doing for the last 4 years. Each year, I have four rec centers in District 8. We also have Singing Hills, Tom Allen, Fireside, and Clearbird Riley. And basically what we do each year, we rotate our home for the holidays in different rec centers. And this year was the rec center we had home for the holidays. This particular rec center at Clearbird Riley were closed for the whole year to be remodeled. And this year was the first time it's been open. Just imagine a rec center in your neighborhood closed for 1 year, then all of a sudden that you want to come back and have an event at the rec center. To do this event, it takes a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of time. We plan our event a year in advance. It takes a whole lot of sponsors, a whole lot of support from the cities, the staff, and everyone to do this. We start out this event trying to bring the community together, the staff together, and the business community together. And we also try to say at the end of the day, what did we achieve? We look at Dallas Penn School District. We look at the council. We have them go out to match and try to say, you know, what family deserves help from the community. And how we do that, the counselor at each school would go out and identify the families and say, who need the help. I think with DSC joint venture with me on Home for the Holidays, it show what families that need help, and we can identify which family need help and which children need help through Dallas Penn School District. So there's a partnership through the school district. And when we start out, we always come out at the beginning. We have a NFL football player to sign autographs to give back to the community. We invite everyone for the big press day, how we do at City Hall, as you showed us seeing there. Then after we invite everyone to the press day, then we go back on a Saturday morning when everything's trying to come together. We invite the family members. And the family members come out, and they have one of the best time of their life, you know. We take pictures with Santa Claus. The council members came. Some of the people this year, you know, some of the council members came this year, and some of the council members could not come because of private engagement, because the film was going on the same day. I know Shepard and Jerry, they always do attend or other events, merge them attend each year, but, you know, you never know for someone something happens like today. We could not do this morning because it was a funeral. You know, one of our DPD personnel passed away. We had to show that support for the city. But the brightest is that everybody who sat at the head table this year, they got surprised. So everyone who sat at the head table this year, we include Mary Stone, the city manager, the police chief, the fire chief, they all had to go out to lunch with someone who chose their name, the raffle. So they all got raffle off. And we saved the big prize for last for Mary Stone. Since she's the president, she had to take someone to dinner. So we know that process had already started. And Deborah Hossard, you know, she gave away a Coca-Cola drink for each month of the year, one case. Thank you, Deborah, for doing that. And that was a great activity, but the biggest deal of this luncheon was this rec summer. And I got to go to Jerry Allen. Jerry told me you fight like a dog for the rec summer. Keep fighting, because this rec summer, these people fought so much for the rec summer. They got a high-tech computer lab room. They had one of the state-of-the-art weight facilities, a gym sitting there. You can hook up your BlackBerry, your iPhone, and run, look at everything to be at one time. They have a full kitchen. We can have family reunion, whatever type of events. We have weddings outdoors. You've got a great overlook at the ponds outside of the facility. So you got everything you need. And here at Cleveland Riley at this particular rec center, we don't have the LA fitness, the 24-hour fitness, but the rec center has that. We might not have the computers and the lab for the children, but we have the lab. We might not have the convention center, the activities, the meeting room, but we have there. So we have all this done because of the citizen and because of the council and because of the staff that said this particular center did it. We put over $1.4 million in there. The 4 years of holidays, we adopted over 38 families. We had over 500 people attend for the luncheon, and which was no taxpayer money. All this came from the private side and also the help of the staff. And most of the families were adopted by different departments. You know, we had people in finance and audit, people in parks and recreation departments. And this is how the families give back. Also organized the adoption. We had CDM, Kern and Company, UT Southwest, AGE Association, the Region Hispanic Contract Association, NTTA, and we go on and on and on. But the key of the whole celebration that you see is how many different organizations came together. And those different organizations who came together, and if Shanice would give me a list of which organizations I can talk to, respect those. And we had case of the Radio 1, the B, Mont Blanc, which was our head corporate sponsor, Dallas County School, Kroger's, Walmart, Union Pacific, Baffa Beta, CDM, Minority Transportation Organization, and the Dallas Chapter, who donated 10 bicycles. But with all of that, the volunteer of the city staff. So with that, it was a great deal. Next year, we'd be at Tommy Allen. But again, it was the partnership with the council, with the staff, in the community, in the business people that brought us together. And this time, I would like to thank you. Okay, KHAFR Engineer Firm, is they here? CDM, will you please come up? Carrington and Company. Comto Company. UT Southwest. Radio 1. Mont Blanc. Dallas County School. Kroger's. Walmart. Union Pacific. Alpha Beta, Minority Transportation, and the Dallas Chapel. And we also like to recognize the volunteer and the women of color. And the women of color, they always help this event, and they are all city employees. And we also want to thank the finance and audit department. And the last minute, they adopt the family, you know, and that just came in because we need help. These people are responsible for this great event. And I'm not going to go and prolong everybody with all the presentation. And also Michael Davis, who was very instrumental in make sure that we got the celebrities there. But these are the people that show how much they give back to the community. You would just imagine adopting 38 families. And you got to imagine those 38 families got to come back to City Hall. And you got to imagine what the benefit they were given. But then, too, it's up to the citizen and the staff and the council. Remember, we got to give back to the community. The more you give back, the more we will benefit in the long run. And remember, we had a hard budget, a hard time, but when you give, you receive back just as much as you give. Again, thank you. And also, I'd like to, my main sponsor, Lamar Blunt, who's come and said a few words. They came in at the last minute. And this is a new corporate sponsor who came in, and at the last minute they came in, and they was one of the biggest sponsors. That they gave $2,500 in cash, but also you look at contract, and this was kind of amazing. They said, you know, you look at the president, you look at all these people who signed contracts, the documentation, everything. And he said, what can you give back? It's amazing how many treaties, how many friends have signed different pens. They say, you know what I want to do? I want to give a pen back to the community that someone, when they do sign a contract or sign something, they got a Mont Blanc pen. And that pen was a value over $500 when they gave back to the citizens. And that citizen said, you know, I don't know what Mont Blanc is, but I see so many people writing with scraggly printed pens. Can I have one? They went and got it. It was amazing. What can you do to help the city?
Thank you. We're just built a new store at North Park Center September of this year, and so we always invite everyone to come out to North Park. As you, most of you guys are very familiar with North Park Center, but the mall is great. We had a great holiday season, so we feel like that the economy is really picking up, and so Mont Blanc made a decision and a commitment to build a new store a year and a half ago when the economy was not doing great, but they're really committed to being in the city, and we feel very blessed to be in North Park and to be a part of Councilman Atkins' program this year. So thank you guys for allowing us to be a part in whatever way we can. We appreciate it.
And also, I would like, but Carlene, would you come up, please? They're not there, okay. Della Hostel, will you come up? You want to say a few words? And we will take some pictures and we'll be finished. And also, we'd like to thank St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And Trey D in the house.
Thank you, Councilmember Atkins. I was able to go to my first Home for the Holidays with Fidel, and I can tell you that the place was packed. And I did get to give away a case of Coke per month for the winning person that I drew. So thank you for letting me be a part of it.
Again, thank you, colleagues. Thank you, Mary, for your support, and thank everybody for showing up.
While we're taking the pictures there, Ms. Hostel, can I turn to you for another presentation, please?
Okay, my special recognition goes to a group of residents and volunteers in District 1. We had a wonderful group of people who put together the Better Block Project in District 1 in Oak Cliff. This is what it looked like before and what it looks like today probably. And then you're seeing pictures of what they actually did on a volunteer basis to basically show us how we could make a regular street into a street that is walkable, livable, and that also supports any kind of pop-up shops or shops that are not already there. For instance, we had flower shops and record shops and all kinds of shops that didn't exist but can exist when you're doing a Better Block project. So I am going to recognize, if you guys will come on up here, Jason Roberts, Amy Wallace Cohen, Andrew Howard, Pierrette LaCour, Matt Spiller, Gary Buckner, Scott Griggs, Amanda Pounds, Rob Shearer, Melina Pearson, Rob Ryder, Charles McDaniel, Dave Thompson, Joe McElroy, Mike Arriaga, and Jonathan Braddock. And I'm just going to read to you what this recognition says. A group of area residents and organizers introduced the Better Block Project to a move to bring more life, energy, interplay to the streets and sidewalks in North Oak Cliff. The Better Block Project was held on April 10, 2010 during the Oak Cliff Art Crawl event and transformed Tyler and 7th Streets into temporary pop-up businesses that included fruit stands, an art gallery, a flower gift market, an outdoor seating cafe, a kids' art studio, among others. The weekend street makeover included using vacant storefronts, installation of temporary businesses, creating outdoor seating, landscaping mediums with shrubs, providing temporary street lighting, and inviting artists to perform on the street. And don't go crazy, you code people. The core team of volunteers are here with us today. The Better Block Project was deemed a real success with over 2,000 people in attendance, which brought people from outside of Oak Cliff into Oak Cliff, and is now a nationally known project that is being duplicated in cities nationwide. So now, therefore, Tom Leppert, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and I, on behalf of the Dallas City Council, do hereby give special recognition to the Better Block Project volunteers for developing a best practices model that brings increased economic activity and creates a more livable and walkable community. Thank you, guys. Jason?
I just want to really thank a group of the volunteers and the people that helped with this project. The exciting thing what we did with this was we took a lot of spaces that had been vacant for years. We talked to the neighborhood and we said, what's been missing? And they said, we don't have activities for children. We don't have activities for seniors. We don't have things for the artists. So we worked with the property owners and we created temporary businesses for 2 or 3 days only. And we did our own fundraisers for book drives, put books out the street and all kinds of things. The interesting thing is several of these businesses are now permanent because of the success of this project. So this, as a tool for economic redevelopment, especially for the South, it's been very impressive for us. And seeing it now being replicated throughout cities around the nation is really exciting. And so having Delia's help and everyone else with this project has been immensely important. So. And Joe, thank you.
First of all, you get the proclamation right on. Thank you. You know, we sought to do this, and I think that one of the biggest surprises after doing the event was how many new community relationships were formed. Really now, some of my best friends were formed from that, and then the business relationships that were formed. You know, in a place that's redeveloping, we often have that word gentrification come up, and I think this is one of those gentrification fighters. It brought some of the business owners together. So now the restaurants are buying from the fruiteria, and it's making the community more cohesive.
Absolutely.
And it was Dallas's first complete street.
I just want to thank Councilmember Hasso for her help and support through this, and especially her staff, Elsa, and the folks at Code. They were very helpful, actually, in understanding what we were doing and what we're trying to show, the change we're trying to show and change we're trying to drive, and explaining what we need to do to make those changes permanent. So we appreciate everybody's support. It was obviously a huge team effort, and everybody couldn't be here today, but we hope that they are clapping at home with us or at work for
today. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We won't keep going, but again, I just can't reiterate enough how this group of volunteers, you know, decided that they wanted to show what could be done in our streets to get more people walking, and it really brings down the crime. It brings, like Andrew said, a lot of relationships were formed in these types of projects. So, you know, if anybody's interested in doing one in their area, I've got the great group of people that will help you do it. Thank you.
Mr. Newman?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Medrano. Kudos to you. What a great team. You know, this is a part of the heart and soul of what's happening in Oak Cliff, so it's really a great thing going forward. So thank you again very much for you all, individually and collectively. Good job. Thank you.
Good job. Appreciate it. Ms. Medrano, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Hassel, congratulations to this wonderful project. It had made headlines and it made the news, and Jason You're on the front cover of G Magazine this month, so congratulations.
Right. And I just want to add my two cents. You know, Pauline and I have been working hard on improving Lower Greenville, and you guys have been a real inspiration for us in just figuring out how we can activate the street, how we can create a real community along Lower Greenville that responds to the neighborhood and that creates really nice street life. So terrific job in helping us see the vision. Great work.
Terrific. Good job. Thank you. Madam Secretary, let's move on to our morning speakers in the afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon. We're going to begin your speaker with Charlotte Manor, followed by Terry James. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. You'll note the timers on both walls. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. You may address your comments to Mayor Tom Leppert. Again, your first speaker is Charlotte Manor. Not present. Terry James. Not present. Danny Augustus. Please state your name and address for the record, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Hello. It's my great honor to speak in front of council, citizens, and Mayor Leppert. I also have a suggestion or a personal interest in improving the property in Gaston as people improve the properties in Oak Cliff. My concern is with the property at 4320 Gaston, and I acquired it in 2008 with the full intention of, I'm seeing the time ticking away, with the full intention of rehabbing it. And what happened was I spent a lot of money in doing it, and what happened was the property is not rehabitable. It needs to be demolished. It's in the historical district, and I'm caught in a quandary between the city wanting to do something about the 28 code violations present there and the historical district that want to preserve what's not preservable. I have a structural engineer report saying it's not preservable. I'm going through the process, first with the neighborhood task force, in which I think I was caught off guard, and I was surprised at their reaction for items that were not my fault. The thing's been like that for 20 years. I've acquired it. Through my best efforts, I tried to rehab it. I spent even $20,000 to gut it out, only to find out that it's not restorable. It needs to be demolished. And today, I drove by, and with my own hands, I took a brick off of the wall. And here's the brick right here. And, you know, I work out a lot, but I'm not that strong. I'm not like He-Man where I just take bricks off the wall of, buildings. So,
we appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Tony Augustus. Tony Augustus.
He's not. Tony Augustus is my father. Could I have his extra 2 minutes if it would please the council? Okay. Thank you. He's feeling ill. Thank you.
Hope to see him again soon.
Patricia Major. Patricia Major.
I signed up to talk on the items for individual consideration.
You want to wait when we get to that item?
Okay.
Okay.
Leslie O'Hare. Leslie O'Hare. Not present. That concludes the speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate that, Madam Secretary. Our first item for consideration is the approval of the minutes of the January 5th. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, to order. Madam Secretary, would you read into the record item number four? Item number four.
Item number four is to authorize an amendment to the oil and gas lease dated February 27, 2008, between the City of Dallas Lessor and XTO Energy Inc. Lessee by, number one, extending the primary lease term by 30 months, number two, modifying Exhibit A and Exhibit B of the oil and gas lease to describe a total of approximately 703 acres of land, number three, modifying Paragraph 5 by limiting drill sites to a maximum of three sites, each of which will not contain more than 4 acres, and number four, adding provision requiring the predisclosure of all chemicals that would be used at the drill site.
Why don't we, I know there was one speaker, why don't we take that one speaker now, so.
Patricia Major.
And then I'll go to Mr. Allen for a motion.
You will be allowed 2 minutes to speak.
Before you start, I will note that Mr. Nitsky had a conflict of interest. He has excused himself from the chamber. Please.
You have been supplied with reams of information about the process of fracking, the amount of water used, the toxicity of the chemicals used, how those toxins work their way into our air, our water, and our land. This information has been supplied by people whose only motivation is preservation of the earth and the health of its inhabitants. Councilman Newman showed great wisdom when he said that we must learn the science, not just work the politics of this situation. However, the political side of this debate is intriguing. When I first learned that XTO Energy had rented land from the city for $33 million without even knowing if they would be permitted to do what they wanted to do, I thought they must have gotten some really bad advice. I mean, why didn't they do what most companies do and make their lease contingent upon getting permission to do their thing? But as I thought about it more, I realized that XTO wasn't being dumb. They were being sly. They knew that it was only a matter of time before the momentum turned against them, and they needed to get their foot in the door. By renting land at $33 million, a modest sum for a corporate giant, but a great substantial boon for a cash-strapped city, they hoped to make you beholden to them. When you rented them this land, you dealt in good faith. You had every intention of permitting them to drill. However, in that time period, we have all become more educated. Sadly, through the misfortune of others, we have found out what could happen to our city if fracking takes place. XTO gambled on being able to bully you into setting aside your moral, ethical, and civic responsibilities, but whether or not that gamble pays off depends only on your courage and sense of responsibility to your constituents. As people who vowed to protect the safety and health of the citizens of Dallas, you cannot grant a permit to drill for natural gas in this manner, and therefore you do not need to extend the lease on this land.
Thank you very much. Mr. Allen, can I go to you for a motion? I believe a motion to defer.
All right. I move to approve agenda item number four with one correction to the authorizing resolution. Section 2 should be amended to include Track 6, so it would read Exhibit A and Exhibit B of the oil and gas lease were modified by eliminating all tracks except Tracks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. For a total acreage of 720 acres, 0.545 acres of land located at Hensley Field.
Appreciate that. Is there a second on that? Seconded. Any discussion? Ms. Davis, please.
Mayor, I don't think I will be voting on this today. And one of the reasons I don't think I will be voting on it is because we have not made the language strong enough, Dave. I don't think we're putting anything in there to protect the neighborhood. I don't think we're putting anything in there to really make people feel good about that neighborhood. I went on the internet the other day and I looked up some areas that's doing natural gas drilling. One is here in the state of Texas where it was an explosion, and it kind of like went unnoticed. And they got here on the internet, and you can just go in yourself and you can Google natural gas drilling, and you will find a list of pages on natural gas and the problem that natural gas has caused. So I would not be voting on this. I would not want to live next to a gas drilling nowhere by me. And so I will not be supporting this today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I just want to thank everyone for coming out here today and sharing your concerns. And I share them as well. I think what we have got to do is take a step back. Across the country, folks are looking at this issue and looking at the questionable safety of fracking, especially in an urban environment. And so what I think we have to do at this point is step back, develop a task force that is properly balanced with folks who understand this issue on the environmental side, who share our concerns, and look at the science of it, investigate what's happened up in the Northeast and the challenges they've had up there, and look at what challenges we've had here in North Texas, and then come back to the city and advise us on how we, if we do indeed move forward, how we move forward. What is fracking safe in an urban environment? If not, we simply can't do it. The costs simply don't make sense in terms of life and property. So that's how we're going to move forward. And I think it's important that everyone understand today that no SUP is being granted today. Okay, and so we're talking about deferring this. Mr. Newman has made it clear that he wants to defer this through October, and I support his effort on that. I think we need to take a look at what the task force analysis is before we consider an SUP. So that's what we're going to do. Now, this extension of the lease agreement, that allows all of us to take a step back. So I'll be supporting this today with the understanding that I have deep reservations about supporting an SUP in the future. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Carroway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Ms. Hunt and Ms. Davis. Let me just say that I have some concerns as it relates to this, and I've expressed them in our other previous discussion. One, and I'll express them openly today, that just to grant 30 more months and we're just sitting there, I have a concern with. That's number one. And as we look at the upcoming budget deficit, I still have a concern with that. I think that Exxon, being a global energy company as they are, when we granted them the rights to drill in the beginning, they waited until the two-year time period before they begun, and there's a city process that must be followed, and they are following the process, but they started a little late, in my opinion. With that being said, now they come to us and ask for an extension, and I'm not one that am sitting comfortable in giving an extension without them saying, well, here's some more money. That's just the way I see it. And that's the way I feel about it. But now to give them at the beginning a three-year lease and then come back and they chose to wait until 2 years, then we come back and give them another 30 months, which is equivalent to another 3 years minus 6 months, then there should have been a six-year deal in the beginning. But that's that. I can adjust and adapt to it should this be the recommendation of the council and of our manager, But at the same token, I'm going to be on record. I still think that they should just come back up to the table because they're going to be there dealing with it. I don't care about it. They gave up some other land. Doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that they're still going to impact and still have an additional 3 years. Now, with that being said, I do agree even with Ms. Davis as it relates to the fact that I want to see the neighborhood even more engaged. And neighbors, I'm listening to you. I am listening to the neighbors. I'm listening to the neighbors. I want the neighbors to understand that. Now, with that being said, we're faced today with not doing the SUP, in which gives us the opportunity to come back and still make sure that the franking and all of these things are taking place. That's correct? Am I correct? So to the neighbors, I will deal with that on the SUP side when that comes up, okay? When does that come up, Madam? Next agenda item. And we're going to approve that today, too?
It will be the next agenda item.
Deal with that one. So we will not be approving an SUP today. I'm safe to understand that. So neighbors, and I'm speaking to the neighbors. It's not my district, and I follow the council member whose district it is, but I still am sworn to protect every citizen in this city. Regardless of what people want to say and think it's just my district, the city of Dallas is my district. All right? Now, with that being said, we're going to deal with the SUP separately from this 30-month extension that I'm not in favor for, but I'm forced to have to go along with it because it's going to pass. But at the same token, I want you all to know we're going to do every single thing that we can to make sure that the neighbors' voices and concerns are heard, because I didn't want it over by my house, and I'm certain to know that you don't want it by yours, and should it be there. It should have every protection clause that can possibly be put in there. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bainley.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that I don't think they were late in doing their SUP. I know how the oil companies work. They probably had an agenda that was on their agenda and was probably down the line. They did give up 800 and something acres, which I think Mr. Newman worked out where he got over half of the acreage deleted. So taken out, it's gone. And that is a big deal. So I think that was good. And I think it's good that, and I don't think that the oil company realized they were going to have that kind of trouble with the SUP, which is what we're going to deal with next. Extending the contract does not give them the right to drill. The SUP does, and that's what we're going to delay, and that's what we're going to make sure that is right, and make sure that everybody is safe and will be secure. So I think that what we're doing is the right thing.
Thank you,
Mayor.
And Mr. Cadet, I think you did a good job of clarifying. I was going to come in, but I think you've already done it. One is, this item is only the lease. It doesn't deal with an SUP, which is necessary before any drilling takes place. That's the other item that we'll deal with in just a moment. I appreciate that clarification. It's been moved and seconded for approval on item number 4 with the amendments as read by Mr. Allen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yes.
There is one no. The record will show that Ms. Davis objected. And Mr. Carraway. Madam Secretary, would you read in item number 5 into the record, item number 5?
Item number 5 is a public hearing regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for gas drilling and production on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the south side of Jefferson Boulevard, east of Hardy Road, adjacent to the water canal in the westernmost quadrant of the Hensley Field Airport and Naval Base.
We have a number of speakers that have asked to speak. If you'd like to, again, as we did last week, I'd be happy to have it. I tell you, I anticipate having that motion that was referred to earlier. That motion would be to defer this. So I anticipate that this item will be deferred. But if anybody would like to speak, they're welcome to. So with that,
read our information. Mr. Mayor, we sent 48 notices to the property owners within 1,000 feet of the area of this request. We did not receive any replies in favor of the request, and we received 7 replies in opposition to the request. It will require a 3-quarter vote.
Thanks, Teresa. With that, Madam Secretary, if you could go through the list of speakers who have signed up.
Thank you.
Individuals will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. Again, the timers are on both walls. First speaker is Mark McCorn. The next speaker will be Lawrence Caudill.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Mark McCord, 7660 La Bolsa Drive, Dallas 75248, and I appreciate this opportunity to address you on this critical issue. I've been before you before, and I didn't get to cover anywhere near all the important issues, so I'm going to try to cover some major water issues. The Trinity River, which is fed by Mountain Creek, where Mountain Creek Lake is located, supplies 50% of the people in this state with drinking water. Fracking near that lake, with the potential contamination of that lake, puts our city at risk of liability to everybody downstream that we may pollute. In addition to that, you're talking about spending $3.3 million on a whitewater park on the Trinity River and another $202 million to build other recreational facilities along the river, all of which will be inundated with frac fluids if there's a spill or an accident down there, totally wiping out the investment the city makes in recreational facilities along the Trinity River. Now, XTO has told you that they're going to use the closed-loop system. What they also need to tell you is that about 3 months ago, their closed-loop system in Lycoming County, Pennsylvania, had a frac spill of 13,000 gallons of frac fluid out of a tank with an open valve, and it had another 8,000 gallons in it that would have spilled had not a gas well inspector just happened to show up on site, find that valve, and close it. There was no XTO personnel anywhere near the site. It contaminated a spring, it contaminated a major tributary to the Sugar Run River, and at least two personal water wells. This is something you need to consider when you look at fracking. You need to ask yourselves if it's worth the money that you think the city may get. We're not going to be the next Jed Clampett. We're on the eastern edge of the Barnett Shale, and they may not get any gas out of that well of a viable flow. So you need to look at what's going to be pumped into the ground in the terms of toxic carcinogenic chemicals that may come back to haunt us for many years in the future and will bankrupt our city if we do indeed contaminate the Trinity River and create a liability for our city for all the people downstream all the way to the Gulf who get their water out of the Trinity. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Lawrence Caudill. Lawrence Caudill.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, council members, I'm here today as a private citizen. I don't represent any group. I just wanted to say that I support wholeheartedly the previous speaker and his sentiments. I have attended meetings in Arlington, Grand Prairie, Fort Worth, of citizens who have come before several government bodies. At the time that I attended these meetings, I really didn't know much at all about natural gas drilling. I'm not from this area originally, as you might be able to tell. But I listened very carefully, and I was frankly very stunned by what I heard. The overwhelming sentiment expressed by those citizens was the great danger that fracking will present to our community. And I want to urge you in the strongest way possible that whatever the city decides to do regarding these permits or whatever, I certainly hope that everything is done to make sure, if this is ever allowed to go through, and I hope it isn't, unless it can be definitively proven that it can't, the safety of this entire city is at stake. People I heard speak were complaining about the air being foul, the water being polluted, the property values dropping. The noise was just unbelievably loud, and it's just intolerable. So please, whatever actions you take in the future, I hope that you know that it's going to be very serious.
We appreciate it.
Hope that you will keep the welfare of this entire community, everybody, in mind as you do this. Thank you very much.
Raymond Crawford. Mr. Crawford will be followed by Jeffrey Jacoby.
Good afternoon. My name is Raymond Crawford, 2647 Southwood Drive, Dallas, Texas. I live in District 3. The current Dallas gas ordinance is itself too weak, too old, and needs updating immediately. To approve this application would harm our environment, our property values, and our lives. Currently, the air in North Texas and Texas itself is one of the dirtiest in the nation. Last week, we learned our air is number 7 in the world for carbon dioxide emissions, and I'm sure no one on this council would want their names to be connected to an approval vote on this application. We do approve and we encourage Councilman Newman's proposal for a deferment of all gas drilling applications in Dallas for a period of time in order to organize a task force to study the many aspects of shale gas drilling. This is a good first step into establishing strict rules to protect everyone in Dallas. We would encourage others, such as Council Members Hunt, Coop, Medrano, and Hill, to assist in creation of this task force. We hope that the task force will be filled with doctors, chemists, environmental professionals, and residents. Since the Barnett Shale Energy Education Council is part of our city's website, we assume that the industry has already educated the City Council on its own behalf. Transparency is the key to this task force. One fact we know, shale gas drilling as currently practiced within an urban setting is not friendly to the environment or to humans. The pollution and the health effects will have a negative effect on everyone for the rest of our lives. This application not only affects District 3, it affects the entire city of Dallas. And we agree with you, Councilmember Carraway, for this train of thought. We live in the Trinity watershed, which is the lifeblood for all of our citizens. In other words, we all drink the same water, and we all breathe the same air. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Jeffrey Jacoby.
My name is Jeffrey Jacoby. I live at 5920 La Vista Drive in District 14. I am the director of the Dallas office for Texas Campaign for the Environment, and I come bearing gifts. These are letters from constituents in various districts across the city expressing their concerns about fracking in Dallas, asking you not only to delay this permit, and we definitely support that action, but also asking you to take into account the concerns of people today and the future generations that are going to inherit the decisions that are made by this council. We will form a task force, and we'll be pleased with that. But what we have seen in numerous places across this state and across this country is that all too often these task forces are nothing more than lip service. It's nothing more than an exercise. And at the end of the day, their recommendations are business as usual. Dallas, we talk about being a cleaner, greener city. We talk about making Dallas better together. City Manager Soon is quoted as saying, we want to make Dallas one of the most sustainable cities in this country. This is not the way to do it. When we create this task force, let's be real. Let's look at who is making up this group of people that is recommending to this council how we go forward. I believe very firmly that the people seated here today are concerned and intelligent people that will make the right choices. Now, let's make the right choices based on what's best for the citizens, not what's best for those who are making money from these decisions. Thank you.
The next speaker is Shauna Cahey. Shauna Cahey.
I'm Shanna Coy, 6808 East Ridge Drive, number 14, Dallas, Texas, 75231. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to you. As a concerned citizen, I implore you to take seriously the concerns raised today and at last Wednesday's hearing regarding gas drilling in Dallas. Additionally, I believe that it would behoove us to pay careful attention to the complaints coming from our neighbors and communities such as Flower Mound and Fort Worth and in Cleveland, Texas, where urban gas drilling is already underway. Rather than dismiss concerns of mothers, educators, and business people as anecdotal evidence, we should create a gas drilling task force that would, among other things, investigate the condition of the air and water quality in these places and incorporate this data into careful analysis that informs Dallas's next steps forward in the permitting process. Here in Dallas, we have a critical opportunity to protect the public health of our citizens by delaying these fracking permits so that we may strengthen our city's ordinance on gas drilling. Let's ensure that if there is gas drilling within the city limits, it's done according to the strictest safety standards possible. Thank you for your time.
Hi, I'm Molly Rook. My address is 5825 Palm Lane, Dallas. I'm one of the many concerned citizens who've been following the often alarming news on hydraulic fracturing, shale gas drilling, and production in the DFW area and nationally, and learning all that I can about it. The allure of quick and seemingly easy money has led mineral owners, including Dallas and other cash-strapped cities, to accept money in exchange for drilling leases before the full risks were known to water supplies, safety, health, property values, and federal air quality standards. Now is the time to hold consideration of all gas drilling SUPs until a Dallas gas drilling task force with unbiased experts on it is established and given adequate time to study the reports and experiences around the Barnett Shale and nationally. That task force needs to write a new, stronger drilling ordinance that takes into account and addresses the many risks of this type of drilling and production, as well as the negative impacts and risks of the large numbers of trucks and dangerous gas pipelines in our neighborhoods. The City of Dallas has gas leasing listed under sustainable development and lists public safety and a clean, healthy environment as objectives. Clearly, a gas drilling task force has its work cut out for it to make hydraulic fracturing, shale gas drilling, and production fulfill those descriptions and objectives. It's time to see if that is possible, and if so, to write all the requirements into an ordinance that would apply to all gas drilling permits so that Dallas citizens and the council wouldn't have to spend as much time permit by permit, or to put false hope in the oil and gas companies or the state agencies that regulate them, both of which have poor records and grossly inadequate procedures, requirements, and staff in place. Lives are at stake. We've got to get this right. Thank you for all you can do in that regard.
Erica Peterson.
Hi, my name is Erica Peterson. I live at 4421 Worth Street, 75246. Over and over again, we hear about having to conserve our water usage here in Dallas, as well as the toxic air emissions caused by all the traffic and whatnot, and both come from hydrofracking. I'm definitely in support of Councilmember Newman's moratorium so that we can find out which we're really signing our city over to, also to create the task force to do so and strengthen the ordinances. Thank you.
Josh Rollins. Marilyn Haymaker.
Marilyn Haymaker, 1139 Haynes Avenue, Dallas. I would like to thank Councilman Newman in advance for proposing a moratorium on gas fracking permits in Dallas in order that a thorough study can be made of the environmental and health dangers that are connected to gas fracking. This moratorium will provide the time Dallas needs to formulate gas drilling regulations that will protect the air and water quality of Dallas. A good place to start the study might be the CBS 60 Minutes report of November 14th, in which it discussed some of the serious problems that can arise with gas fracking. From there, the study might move on to a 2008 report by Dr. Al Armendariz. The report, entitled Emissions from Natural Gas Production in the Barnett Shale Area and Opportunities for Cost-Effective Improvements, lays the groundwork for a safer, more environmentally effective approach to gas fracking. Councilman Salazar's office distributed this report by email to all council members yesterday, so it's there for you to read now. The citizens of Dallas are counting on you to protect their health, their air, and their water. Thank you for your support of the moratorium.
Thank you. Julian Fernandez. Not present. Jennifer Lamb. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Please state your name and address. Excuse me, Ms. Lamb. I apologize. Mr. Fernandez is next. I didn't see him coming up. Thank you.
Sorry. My name is Julian Fernandez. I live at 3826 Holiday Road in District 3, Mr. Newman's district. I stand here in support of any moratorium that would slow down or stop hydraulic fracturing in the city of Dallas. The process is fraught with too many risks, known and unknown. Evidence is accumulating, both anecdotal and statistical, that the amount of water used to carry out this process is unsustainable in this day and age. The city of Dallas has made it a goal to become water efficient, has made it a goal to become one of the cleaner cities in America. This isn't the way to go about it. I hope that any committee formed to address this and study it will be comprised of academics and citizens and those concerned and not just industry representatives. I thank Mr. Newman for this moratorium and hope that all of you keep the welfare of the citizens of this of Dallas in the forefront of your minds. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Land, and I live at 3905 Weburn in District 13. Last week, over 30 citizens took their day off of work to have their civic voices heard on this issue, only to watch as the vote was delayed and their day wasted. It would be easy to be jaded by the way the citizens have been left out of this process every step of the way. But I'm someone who believes in fighting the good fight, and I believe you wouldn't be here if you didn't too. And the tide is already turning. Moratoriums are occurring across the country, including New York State, after a risk assessment study found its water supply was at risk from drilling. It would be unconscionable to move forward without a similar assessment here. There have been countless case studies performed by government regulators and private testing firms documenting drilling contamination of water, air, and even residents' blood. Cynically, the industry continues to deny the mounting evidence, including the EPA's recent gas fingerprint proof that Dimmick, Pennsylvania's water was contaminated by drilling. But the untold cost is the personal one. When a well blew out in Crosby, Wyoming, surrounding families suffered severe respiratory distress, nausea, vomiting, and forced evacuations. Imagine this happening in a dense neighborhood in Oak Cliff. The authors of a recent health study on gas drilling noted that every single chemical identified in the drilling process in this study was associated with respiratory effects, an unsettling finding given DFW's elevated asthma rates. The authors also found pervasive effects of the sensory, respiratory, gastrointestinal, nervous, cardiovascular, and immune systems, with 25% having carcinogenic effects. Who here is willing to let their own daughter sleep next to a gas well and risk asphyxiation like Lisa Parr's daughter nearly faced in Wise County? No one should be expendable. That is the civic service my dad, a former Dallas prosecutor, taught me. Sadly, he's also a tragic example of how epidemiological studies come too late. He died at 35 from a rare environmentally induced cancer after using the now outlawed pesticide in our home. So in his name, I'm going to fight the good fight. While some of you may be orchestrating behind-the-scenes 30-month lease extensions to XTO, I'm going to be ringing your constituents' doorbells because no one deserves to die my father's death. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Very sincerely, I appreciate everything that was here today.
This issue that the council, the planning commission, the council, the community, our professional staff has dealt with or is dealing with clearly is not conclusive yet. I'm very pleased. So first of all, I appreciate those that are attending. I want to very specifically thank Ms. Hunt and Ms. Koop, who I've relied on weeks ago, today, and going forward for their advice and counsel on good directions to give the balance of the council. Our goal clearly should be to go slow, be smart, but be fair. Go slow, be smart, but be fair. As I've said, and I will say again, because it really is my guiding post, we need to respond to science, not to politics. Safety within a proposed staging area, safety in the surrounding area, and safety for our environment. And those are all fair, reasonable expectations for anyone wanting to consider doing something like this. I do think that collectively, as I said at the beginning, we're not at a conclusive stage, so the council can't make a decision with any level of certainty. And given the lack of certainty, we should not move forward. So as I said months ago, and as I said last week, it is my intention to defer action on this item. I do intend to pull together in some organized way citizen, public feedback, comments, and concerns to try to wrap that into a group of what I will call a technical committee of some sort, experts that can come in and bring fair, firm, accurate, reasonable feedback to respond to citizen rightful concerns, so that there's a combination of citizen feedback and concerns and some technical feedback that will allay or not allay those concerns. And as that comes together, then I think we as a full council can be in a position to say this makes sense or this doesn't make sense. As a result, I today, in zoning case Z090-211, agenda item number 5, I move to keep the public hearing open, which means comments still can come to the council, and defer this item for action until October 12, 2011. What the gist of the motion for those watching, listening, or that are here is that no action will be taken by the council on this specific request until October 12th. That doesn't mean on October 12th we're going to be definitive. The date that I came up with is the date that Ms. Hunt and I spoke about, Ms. Koop and I spoke about, the city staff and I spoke about, to try to say what gives us some running room, some time in order to put some things together. I'm hopeful that we can be definitive by then. It is a council decision. It's something that, as I say again, I'm being redundant, but I want to be clear, needs to be guided more on science than other things. So the science is not clear today, and so therefore I have no choice but to err on postponing as opposed to moving forward. So thank you, Mayor.
We have motion to defer it to October 12th of this year. In addition, I'll point out that Mr. Kinski had a conflict of interest. He has excused himself from the chamber for all of the debate discussion. Mr. Kelly?
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Newman. Let me just say, one, I appreciate Mr. Newman, and I encourage the citizens in the district to know that he is doing the right thing by way of giving a little bit more time so that our questions and concerns can be addressed. I want to make sure that we know this is going to come back before the council on the 12th or by the 12th of October. That's the preliminary date that's been given. And that means that we're going to have to do the necessary things to do to just make sure that this is the right thing to do, that we have addressed the concerns, Ms. Molly, that you had, and to the first and second speaker, those that you had and that you expressed. One thing I want to say is that I was in Austin on last week for the swearing in, and I had an opportunity to talk with several legislators. And some of the legislators cautioned me about the very concerns that we're talking about. What I want to do is to make sure that if and when we and should we move forward, that we have addressed, and Mr. Newman, you've set this task force and so that we can address these concerns, but the things that were mentioned about the water and the air, those are things that we need to have the necessary questions put on the table from the beginning. And that is only my hesitation, because since 1991, as we look back and we talk about the lead smelter in West Dallas, it is no different, in my opinion, the environmental issues are environmental issues. If they come from the gas or the smokestack or wherever they are, if they have an effect on a better quality of life for people and a community, then they must be addressed. And so with that, and to hear when some of the speakers that have been coming here for years talking about West Dallas, we might think some of them out of their mind, but they have dealt with this, they've lived with this, and we have an opportunity now. And you're doing the right thing, Mr. Newman. We have an opportunity now to address these same types of concerns on the front end, and to try to put as many hurdles and safeguards in place from the beginning. I wish, and I'll say this, that one, I do have a problem with 1,000 feet. So when we get to talking about 1,000 feet, I would think 1,000 feet may be from this wall to out to the next wall, maybe just a little further. Well, 1,000 feet, in my opinion, is not far enough from someone's house. And it needs to be a part of the expansion. And certainly those are things that we're going to be talking about and we're going to address. But it needs to be a real discussion with realistic solutions. And I will say that I wish, and it's not about science, and it's not about politics. Let me just be real clear about that. It's about doing what's right for the people. And I wish this same process would have taken place. Now, I don't get too deep into this, but when we had that beer and wine, it affected a neighborhood, as this affects a neighborhood, and we should have carefully took and taken our time, because just as speakers talked about trucks and things that are going, and noise and interference in the neighborhood, all citizens all over town deserve the same type of concentration and consideration. I'm going to leave that alone. But we're here now, and that's behind us. But in the future, when we're talking about things that affect any neighborhood, then we need to make sure we dot every I and cross every T on each and every issue. So with that, I'm going to be supporting this, but I want you to know I'm going to have my hands in it, and I'm going to be listening as well, and will be supportive of whatever it is as the findings come forth, and as need to be supported, then I will be supported. I think we got to do something. Time is changing. Fracking and gas drilling is something that's probably coming, but at the same token, when it comes to Dallas, it needs to be safe. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Thank you very much. We have the record will show that the state is objected. It's now 2:10 on January 19th of 2011. City Council now going to a closed session, section 551.074, personnel decision to consider appointments to the Dallas Fort Worth International Board of Director places 1, 5, and 11. What I'm going to ask people to do is, if you would excuse us, I'm going to leave the council right here. I anticipate this being a relatively short executive session, about 15 minutes. So I'm going to ask people to stay here, and if you just excuse yourself, and we'll be back as soon as we can.
Thank you. Item number 2 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration for individual appointments to the Redistricting Commission, you have Domingo Garcia, nominated by Councilmember Hassel, and John Loza, nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano.
Second.
Redistricting Commission only. Item number 3 is consideration of appointments to the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board of Directors for places 1, 5, and 11. You have nominated to the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport Board Betty Colbreth to place 1, Councilmember Hill and Councilmember Atkins, Ben Murrow to place 5,
co-nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Salazar and Hasso. To place 11 is Brenda Irreyes, co-nominated by Councilmember Hasso and Atkins. Jesus G. Garcia is co-nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Salazar. Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if you could please clarify who made the motion and the second. Thank you.
Mayor, council members, I've been advised by the city secretary that an agenda item number 5 today, zoning case Z090211, that the motion that I made to defer but keep the public hearing open on the SUP case, that we moved it to a council meeting date that we're not scheduled to meet on the 12th of October. Thank you, city attorney's office, for that suggestion of the day. No, I did not. No, I did not. So I respectfully ask to move to reconsider. Okay. With respect, I ask the council's consideration to keep the public hearing open, but defer action on zoning case Z090-211, agenda item number 5, keep the public hearing open until October 26, 2011.
Thank you. The only thing that I could bring up is the folks that came to speak on this item, if we would let them know some form of action. Thank you.
Okay. We're waiting for the ballot results on the DFW board.
final tally is 9-6 for Ms. Reyes. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda we'll get to is the radio technology overview.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry.
If you don't mind, we need to consider the other members.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Voting for Ms. Reyes, 9. Hasso, Newman, Caraway. Kadane, Allen, Koop, Nikinski, Margolin, Leppard. Voting for Mr. Garcia, 6. Medrano, Hill, Salazar, Davis, Atkins, and Hunt. 9-6. So with that, we'll now go to the radio technology overview. And Mary, can I turn that to you?
Yes. We're going to go through this rather briefly. Jill Jordan will be doing it. We briefed this in great detail to public safety. Be glad to answer any questions. We had committed to you when we had this item on the agenda in December that we'd be back in January to kind of fill you in on what was ahead of us. And Jill, I'll turn it over to you.
Great, thank you. We have two major challenges ahead of us. First is the FCC mandate to narrowband by January 1st, 2013. And then the second is the state's goal to achieve something called P25 compliancy by January 1st, 2015. I'm going to do a little jumping on the briefing, so I'll try to tell you what page I'm on. I'm going to page 9. First, I'd like to tell you what's narrowbanding, since that's the mandate and we have the January 13 deadline for this. Wideband is what we have now, and that means it kind of takes a lot of room to get the radio signal through. Narrowband means that we're going to make it smaller and get more signals through the same amount of space. If you look at slide 11, it gives you a graphic representation of that with respect to a frequency, and right now we're going to be able to double the amount of calls and usage of that same band of radio. In the future, they want to make it even more narrow. Now, P25 is a different program. This one is a standard to make radios interoperable between different manufacturers, so that we could buy a radio from one company and it could talk with a radio made by a different company. That will help us talk to different cities. In the future, P25 is going to be expanded, and on slide 14 it talks about some of that. In the future, P25 will have the ability to have over-the-air programming, so it doesn't matter whose radio it is, you'll be able to program it and use GPS functions. But these are not yet P25. They are specific to manufacturers. So on the new radios that we're buying, they do not have those features on them, but we hope to add it in the future. So why do we need P25? Because we want multiple vendors to bid our projects and our radios. That means that we'll be getting better prices. We want to be interoperable. We want to have interoperability so that we can talk to Richardson or DFW Airport or Fort Worth or whomever if we're responding to a regional issue. And that means that we'll have better and more rapid deployment of police and fire personnel. Now, patching is another term that I want to talk about real quickly. Patching is something that has to happen now. If you have manufacturer A and we need to talk to a radio from manufacturer B, you can patch them together. It requires going through some other device or person to make that happen. It allows interoperability, but right now it's kind of cumbersome to do it, and so we're trying to get away from patching. So let's talk about the first mandate, the narrowbanding, again, January 1st, 2013. If we do not do this, we could have substantial fines. We could lose our license for our current radio frequencies, and we might kind of jam and cause disruption for cities around us who have the narrowband receivers, and we don't want to do that. For the P25 goal, that is a deadline of January 1st, 2015. This is a goal, however, not a mandate. The state of Texas has said that if cities don't go to the and be P25 compliant by then, they will not pass along federal grant funds for radio equipment. So what's the state of our current network? Well, we're not narrowband. We're not P25 compliant. Our stuff is basically 40 years old. To make matters worse, the manufacturer has stopped making a lot of the parts, and by 2012, virtually all of the parts will no longer be made, which means if we have an issue, we've got to go to the Internet and find the parts.
So we've got a problem and we need to do something about it. So we started that by addressing the 2013 narrowbanding. Back in December, we purchased 2,000 radios. To date, we've put the order in for 850 of them. They have arrived. We've installed the ones on the motorcycles, so we are ready for the Super Bowl. On that same purchase order, we need to go ahead and purchase 1,150 more mobile radios, and we hope to do that in January. Then what we've got to do is we've got to acquire another 5,000 radios, and we'll begin that procurement. That will come to council next November, and during that time period, we'll be working on the transmitters and the receivers and getting everything programmed and ready so that we can meet that January 2013. On these radios, what we have purchased are radios that are P25 compliant so that they will be able to work with whatever radio system we move towards in the future. And so we are not precluding any one manufacturer from bidding our projects in the future. Now I'd like to talk about the funding for that, and that's on slide 31. The change out of all of these radios for public safety is basically $27 million. We've got to spend $4 million for the water department. So this narrowbanding project is a $31 million project. Now, to achieve the P25 goal, we have the same issue as Dallas County. In other words, we have an older network that's not P25 compliant. We're in Dallas County. They're in Dallas County. If we work together, we don't need to have two systems covering the same thing. And so we've been working with the Dallas County staff. The commissioners will be briefed in the next few days or weeks about working together with them. And so we would have a system, potentially a joint system, for towers covering all of Dallas County. And, of course, ours would extend on up into Collin County and Denton County for the piece of the city that goes on up there. But that way, we could provide a kind of a hosting service for smaller cities who might want to subscribe to our service and use our radios. And so we could provide a function and a service for other jurisdictions in Dallas County and with Dallas County. So we're continuing to talk with Dallas County. We will brief you all in the future about the negotiations of how we would manage that and work together on that. Now, the two of us do want to hire a consultant to help us put together the bid documents for that, for the procurement for a new radio network, and we're working with the county on that. So we want to hire an external radio consulting firm to help us pull together the bid documents, decide what we need, how are we going to evaluate the proposals that come in from the manufacturer, and then help us actually evaluate the bids that come in. And that's something that we would be doing in the beginning in the June 2011 time period, where we would hire that consulting firm, and then all the way through 2013 for then actually acquiring the network. Now, that network is a big ticket. It's basically $100 million for us. The county, for the parts outside of the city of Dallas but still in the county, is more money on top of that. That means that a likely funding source could be the future bond program, the 2012 bond program. An alternative would be to fund this through the manufacturers and kind of pay on an annual basis for the network. So we're looking into that, and we're going to have to come back with you for additional discussions on the on how to fund the overall network changeout. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Margolin, in just 1 second, then I'm going to get to you first, and let me recognize some other council members that may want to speak. These radios, Madam Manager, you've already purchased how many, and are they GPS compatible? I asked some of these questions on yesterday, but just for the record.
We purchased 800 of them. We've got another 1,200 on the on this price agreement, 1,150 to buy. We'll buy those shortly. Then we will go out to bid the other 5,000 radios in the spring and be back to you with that summer, fall, sometime in
the And we did not buy GPS. We did not buy over-the-air programming right. because right now those features are proprietary.
Okay.
So the radios that we're buying are completely open. And once they develop the P25 over-the-air capability and the P25 GPS so that it will work with anybody's radios, we can add it at that time. And it's just like changing out something like...
Now, we have also... I would also, if you'd like to see them, you can have them. We asked both companies that are interested in this project to tell us, did they have systems where there was one set of radio used and another, you know, another part of the system was... So you had two different brands, and both of them have had that experience, so it is doable. So when the time comes to bid on this, it won't matter what radios you have as long as they can talk to both systems, and that is, those situations do exist in other places, so if we have
and
to, we
have
here.
Letters from both of them here. If you all want to have them, you know, stick up your hand, and we'll pass them out to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you. Thank you, Jill, for the presentation. Could you clarify the difference between the 2013 narrowbanding goal and then the P25 state goal? What's the difference between the two?
The 2013 is the mandate from FCC, and that's just for narrowbanding. So we could do that and stop, and we would not have to change out our network. So that's $31 million.
Well, except Jill, sooner or later, and it's going to be sooner, you're going to have to change that network because it's 40 years old and out of date.
Right.
I mean, technically, you could delay that for a while, but I would not recommend that.
Right. So. And that's the P25 goal from the state of Texas. And if we don't do it, they won't give us any more money. We're on our own for parts. We're headed on a spiral down.
Okay. Have we spoken to any of the other municipalities in the area to see if they're interested in subscribing to our network?
Yes.
And
there is interest, particularly along the southern part of the county. Some of the cities have already started their own or have their own, but there are other cities that are hopeful that we in Dallas County will get it together and they could join us.
Okay, and then to clarify something, you said that... within the county, we would pay for the Dallas portion, and they would pay for the rest. Why aren't the other municipalities paying for their portion?
They would pay us on kind of an annual subscription basis as opposed to the...
It would be ours in the county system, and then the other cities would subscribe to it. We're the biggest ones. We're the ones that can contribute. We're the ones that can make decisions about how it works and runs, the Dallas city.
Right,
and county.
Let me make sure my question is clear. Let's say Dallas, the city of Dallas is, I don't know, whatever, 70% of the county or something. Does that mean that the county is paying for 30%?
We haven't negotiated that. We just talked with them this past week and said, are you interested in pursuing this? They said, yes, we are. We'll have to have that discussion going forward about cost sharing.
Okay, I guess, I'll try one more time to get my question clear. If we are paying for our portion and the county is paying for the rest, why isn't the county paying for us just as it pays for the rest of the county?
But that's exactly what I was trying to say. We are going to have a discussion about how the cost sharing goes. That discussion's not been held at all. We said, are you interested in working with us?
Okay.
And they said yes, and that's where we are.
Okay, so once that conversation is complete at some point, we would know whether the number is $100 million or some other number.
Yes.
Correct. And we have a lot more radios... you know, the county's bigger geographically, but we've got far more users and more traffic, if you will, of radio calls and that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Hossel.
Thank you, Mayor. Jill, thank you for the presentation. I was there yesterday when we went over it with Mr. Levin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
My concern is the ability to keep it non-proprietary or proprietary.
Right now, we have a proprietary system. We are moving to a non-proprietary.
So that more people have the ability to bid on a contract and we're not giving $100 million to one source.
Correct. And when we bid all of that out, it will be for a non-proprietary system.
And currently, there is not a non-proprietary system that includes GPS and...
Over the air. of their programming.
Do we think that by the time we are ready to purchase, that those two items will be non-proprietary so that we have the ability to put GPS and over-the-air in our new system?
They'll only be non-proprietary when the government requires that everybody have them, and I don't know when that time frame is. Eventually, the FCC will say, as part of your P25 compliancy, you also have to have these things. And when they say that, then every manufacturer will come forward and make that happen.
So we don't know. Right. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
All right, thank you. Hearing and seeing none other, then this was briefed on yesterday at Public Safety, and we did a very good job, Mayor. Move forward.
Okay.
All right, Madam Secretary.
Our second briefing is, Gene, we're going to start with it. Gene, we're going to start with the different teams.
Okay.
As you remember, each key focus area is worked on by a group of teams that looks at strategies and goals and objectives and so forth and measurements. I know you've all read it, so I want to introduce the teams to you. Let me get the information up here just so that you can see and hear the people who have been working on this in our process, and then we'll move on. Okay, public safety folks, if y'all will all stand up, please, and the leader of the team introduce, and then each one of y'all know what department you work in, how long you've been with the city.
And I work in the city manager's office now.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Tracy Kurtz. I work in the city manager's office, and I've worked for the city about 16 years.
I'm Laverna Mitchell, and I work for the Communications Information Services, and I've worked here for approximately 6 years.
Sonia Bass, Public Works and Transportation, Stormwater Management, been with the city for 3 years.
Jennifer Cottingham, Dallas Water Utilities, I've been with the city for 20 years.
Daniel DeYeer, Dallas Fire Rescue, 19 years.
William Madison with Office of Environmental Quality, I've been with the city about 4 years.
Rodney Birchville, Human Resources. I've been with the City of Dallas 2 years.
Cindy Mendez with Court and Detention Services, and I've been with the City 10 years.
I'm Cassandra Wallace with the Office of Emergency Management. I've been with the City almost 7 years.
Hello, Michelle Gonzalez. I've been with the City 5 years, and I work in the City Manager's Office.
Barney Young with Sustainable Development and Construction. I've been with the city for 15 years.
That get all of us? Okay. Thank you all. The presentation that you have in your briefing includes the council objectives that you worked on previously, the strategies to achieving those objectives, some of the measures that we use, and we will be next requesting bids to achieve these strategies and objectives you have coming forward. The Economic Development Group, the leader will step forward, and the rest of you introduce yourself, please.
My name is Hector Reynoso. I'm the team lead for the Economic Vibrancy Key Focus Area team. I work in the Trinity Watershed Management Department, and I've been with the city for 3 years.
I'm Zena Ayala Fernino, and I work with the Dallas Police Department, and I've been with the city for 21 years.
Any more Economic Development group people here with us today?
They're stuck in the security line right now.
Oh, okay.
Already.
Sorry about that. Okay, if y'all are Economic Development, come to the front, introduce yourself, say where you work, and how long you've been here. Economic Development guys, come on.
Hi, I'm Tim Glass with the Office of Economic Development, and I've been here for 3.5 years.
I'm Dan Halter with Dallas Water Utilities. I've been with the city for 11 years.
I'm Tiffany Cherry with the Controller's Office. I've been with the city for 2 years.
I'm Simonia Jordan. I'm with the Department of Street Services, and I've been with the city for 5 years.
And I'm Richard Gogi. I've been with the city of Dallas for 5 years, budget office.
Did we get all of economic development, folks?
Two more,
okay.
Regina Foster, Sustainable Development and Construction. I've been with the city for 20 years.
Good afternoon. I'm Kirk Hemfield. I'm with the Sanitation Department. I've been with the city 10 years.
Okay, thank you all very much. Let's get the next group in. Thank you all. Clean, Healthy Environment Committee, leader and members.
Hello, my name is Daley Lehman. I'm the lead for the Clean Healthy Environment KFA in the City Controller's Office, and I've been with the city for about 2.5 years.
Hi, my name is Renee Clay. I'm with the Water Department and Vital Statistics, and I've been with the city for 24 years.
Hi, my name is Laurie Kinnark. I'm with OEQ, and I've been with the city for 3 years.
Good afternoon. I'm Gloria Perez. I'm with the Dallas Police Department, Northeast Division. I've been with the city for 28 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Erica Molette, and I'm with the Housing and Community Services Department. I've been with the city for 3 years.
Hello. My name is Crystal Lee, and I'm with the Trinity Watershed Management Department, and I've been with the city for about 4 years now.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Helena Stevens-Thompson, and I work in the Office of the Mayor and City Council, and I've been with the city for 11 years.
My name is Gary Middleton. I'm with the Department of Sanitation Services, been here 17.5 years.
I'm Tim Moody with the Park Department. I've been here 14 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Tayo Shokale. I'm with Equipment and Building Services. I've been with the city for 6 years.
Hi, my name is Haitham Hassan. I'm with Public Works and Transportation. I've been with the city for 5 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Hirak Bhatta. I'm with the city of Dallas, Department of 3D Watershed Management. I've been with the city for 14 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Lawler. I'm with the Budget Office. I've been with the city for 8 months.
And these are all of the Clean, Healthy Environment folks, right? Thank y'all. And our Cultural Arts and Recreation group.
Good afternoon. My name is Gary Sanchez. I'm with the Office of Cultural Affairs, and I've been with the City of Dallas for 8 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Kevin Oden, an Emergency Management Specialist in the Office of Emergency Management, and I've been with the city for just under a year now.
Good afternoon. My name is Denise Thomas. I'm in Strategic Customer Services, and I've been there for 3 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Jan Assad. I've been with the city for 14 years.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Eversley. I'm with Human Resources. I've been with the city 16 years.
Hi, I'm Brittany Burrell. I've been with the city for about 2 years, and I work in the budget office.
Hello, I'm Pam McDonald with the Civil Service Department. I've been with the city for 9 years.
Good afternoon. Mark Fleet. I'm with Dallas Water Utilities. I've been with the city for 6 years.
Glorietta Stewart-Childress with the Department of Code Compliance. I've been with the city for 18 years.
That all culture and arts and recreation, right? Our Educational Enhancements Group.
Hello, my name is Christina Warden, and I'm with the library, and I've been with the city for 24 years.
Yes, my name is Michael Jones with Code Compliance Services. Been with the city for 4 years.
Hi, my name is Allison Lawson. I'm with the Office of Financial Services, and I've been with the city for 1 year.
Hi, I'm Jessica Diebner. I've been with the city for 14 years, and I'm with the Code Compliance.
Hi, I'm Cindy Harper. I work in Equipment and Building Services, and I've been with the city for 25 years.
Hi, my name is Bianca Moore. I work in Strategic Customer Service, and I've been with the city for 3 years.
Good afternoon. I'm Matina Garrett. I'm with the City Manager's Office, and I've been with them for almost 3 years.
Thank you all. And E3 Government.
Good afternoon. I'm Billy Ray Johnson. I'm the team lead of the E3 Government Key Focus Area team, and I've been with the city for 12 years.
Good afternoon. I'm Joy Hayden. I'm with Equipment and Building Services. I've been with the City of Dallas for 3 years.
I'm Kevin Hurley. I'm with the Office of Environmental Quality. I've been with the City of Dallas for 4 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Mohin Hassan, working for Dallas Police Department. I've been working for the city for 6 years. So, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Wagner. I've been with the Water Department for 17 years.
Hi, I'm Daisy Torres, and I'm with the Office of Intergovernmental Services, and I've been with the city for over 3 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Victor Corrales, and I've been with the library and the City of Dallas for 33 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Camila Thompson. I work with Sanitation Services, and I've been with the city for 12 years.
Hi, my name is Susan Alvarez. I'm with the Department of Public Works and the Stormwater Management Group, and we're moving to the Trinity Watershed Management Group in a couple of weeks.
Hello, my name is Maria Frosch, and I'm with Dallas Water Utilities, and I've been with the city for 14 years.
Good afternoon. My name is Connie Reese. I'm with Code Compliance Services, and I've been with the City of Dallas for 18 years.
I want to thank all of you. Some of the folks have already left the room. This process of putting the budget together brings more of the organization's eyes to it, and it's turned out to be a good process, not only for the budget development itself, but for the future of our organization and for the understanding of the budget more broadly in the organization. We had a little more time today. We do each one of these presentations, but I know you've seen them, and you know they're good quality work. These groups get better and better every year. They take these jobs on in addition to the jobs they have to do regularly. It's because they want to learn and grow and understand this organization, and I'm really, really proud of them. So, Jean, you can begin our overview with that.
So today's presentation is a very early, very preliminary outlook of the general fund and debt service budgets, as well as I have a schedule for the development of the budget for the 11-12 fiscal year. Beginning with the schedule on slides 3 and 4, I won't read it out to you, but it's very similar to what we've done in prior fiscal years, and just keeping in mind that you already started the process back in October, and the manager will present her budget in early August, and then the budget is scheduled to be adopted on September 28th at the end of the month. So the preliminary outlook that we're providing today is, as you've seen in prior years, we've forecast a range of looking at the potential impact each of our revenue and expenditure items have on the budget, some to a lesser or greater extent than others. And so we're just looking at different scenarios and what impact those may have on next year's budget. Again, this is very early in the process. As we get more information, we continue to do our analysis, the numbers will change, and you'll see different forecasts coming forward throughout the next few months. Additionally, we have not a whole lot of new information since you adopted the budget just at the end of September. So first I wanted to look at the revenues, starting with our largest revenue source is, of course, the property tax. And we've seen 2 years of decline in property tax revenue. And looking again forward towards the 11-12 property tax revenue, looking at a range, still looking at potential value loss on the lesser impact side, maybe just about 0.25% value loss to anywhere up in the order of 4.25%. So $27 to $1.7 million revenue loss on property tax. But again, this is very early. We do not have any information from the appraisal districts at this point in time. As we get that later in the year during the May and June timeframe, we'll have a much better idea where that's going. Sales tax, we have a little bit more optimistic outlook for sales tax. We've had 7 months of growth when compared to the same months in the prior year, 7 consecutive months, and looking to have a little bit more growth for those months where we haven't experienced growth yet. And then possibly some increase or leveling out of the revenue past those next 5 months or so. So anywhere between increase of $1.7 to $5 million. And, of course, this one, again, will continue to change as the months go by and we get more sales tax revenue. Our landfill revenues are forecasted to decline potentially. We're not seeing the increases in our flows into the landfill as we had forecasted. We were thinking that with the improvement in the economy, the construction industry in particular would be bringing more volume to the landfill than we've seen. That outlook is reflected in our greater impact forecast. If we look on the lesser impact side and assume that a flow control program is implemented at the landfill, meaning that all garbage haulers in Dallas are required to use the city's landfill, we could potentially see an increase in revenue next year of about $12 to $13 million. And we have some other grouped revenue adjustments that are summarized in the greater lesser impact on the last row there. We're looking at potentially some decline in our franchise fee revenue for electricity due to just continuing decreases in the consumption of electricity, a little bit of the use of fund balance in the current year budget. We'll need to relook at what property may be available to sell next year and what abandonments, because those do vary from year to year. So in total, our revenue adjustments can range anywhere from possibly up $3 million to down about $45 million. So then moving on to the expenditure side of the budget, there are some adjustments that we know at this time. And the first one would be there are second year adjustments to the meet and confer, not adjustments to the agreement, adjustments to the budget that are required under the meet and confer agreement, including adding a retention incentive for more recently hired police officers and firefighters, the restoration of payment, cash payment for overtime instead of only awarding comp time for overtime service. That kicks in at the end of March, 6 months in the 2012 fiscal year. Also, the agreement requires a reduction of from 5 to 3 mandatory city leave days for uniform personnel. So those costs are approximately $8.4 million. We have some other adjustments related to public safety that need to be made for next year's budget, including an increase in the number of marked squad replacements and ambulances as well. We partially funded the truck that operates out of Fire Station Number 10 in North Dallas. It went into service in December. We need to add the increment that wasn't funded in the current year. A new fire station will be opening at Keeneland and Walton Walker that needs to be staffed. We have certain protective equipment that needs to be replaced for firefighters as well. On sanitation, if we do implement the flow control, there are increased expenditures associated with the increased volumes at the landfill that would cost about $4 million. Looking at some of the city's expenses for fuel and electricity, Encore filed a rate case and has asked for an increase in costs for transmission and distribution costs. This particularly impacts the street lighting budget as well as other electricity that the city purchases. So depending on the results of the rate case and what potentially happens at PUC, those costs could be going up, as well as there have been recent increases in fuel prices that are currently above the amount that we've budgeted for fuel. And we'll need to continue to watch fuel prices, but right now we're looking at an increase in fuel costs anywhere from $5.7 to $2.1 million, and those two numbers are rolled together. On the civilian personnel side, to correspond with the decrease in mandatory city leave days for uniform personnel, we would look to reduce the number of mandatory city leave days for civilian employees. We've put a range of reducing from either 8 to 3 or 8 to 5, so $2.4 to $4.1 million. We anticipate an increase in the cost of city employee and retiree health benefit costs. We assume that these costs are shared between the city and the employees about 50%, and we're still looking at a range of cost increases, and we'll know more in the future. We'll have some miscellaneous adjustments that are both positive and negative to the budget, and those are listed in the next row. And then finally, some operating and maintenance costs that will that are associated with certain capital improvement projects that come online during the next fiscal year as well, and they're listed in the bullet. And then finally, we do have some adjustments to the city's debt service costs. While the cost for our existing debt will decline, we do have some offsetting costs with the full year implementation of the commercial paper program, as well as the refunding of some of that commercial paper, estimated to be about $4.5 million. So in total, your expenditure adjustments right now ranging from about $44 to $51 million. So the next slide summarizes the two ends of the ranges on the various scenarios. So a differential of anywhere between about $41 and $96 million. And again, this is very preliminary and early, and we will need to continue to analyze and refine our estimates and costs as we go through the budget season. And when the manager's budget is presented in August, the budget will be balanced. So we're depending on the City Council's feedback and confirmation of the various strategies and objectives to help prioritize the expenditures and help develop and balance the budget for 11-12.
Jean, let me stop you and let me, if you'll flip to the next page. These budget projections, as Jean says, are very preliminary. Some are as far as 18 months out. So it's always, so on the revenue side, we're very conservative. The expenditure side, you can be a little more exact with. What is not calculated in here in any way whatsoever are the federal government's work that's going on their budget and the state legislature. For instance, on the federal side, we get about $22 million that's home, CDBG, and so forth. There's lots of conversation at the federal level about a 25 or 30% cut in CDBG and home and those and the other things. You can see right away that that would be a huge impact on CDBG programs and home and the law enforcement assistance. So that has a danger of bouncing off the general fund too and causing stress there. The state legislative action is almost more direct in many ways. There's lots of conversations about sharing some of our revenues possibly. So franchise revenues and also cutting off what little money we do get from the state. The state library program is in the proposed budget is not funded. That's $350,000 worth of services that we get from the state regarding the library, and so that's a problem in and of itself. These two areas we need to keep an eye on all the time because they will have an impact on our budget. The budget as it's laid out for you today is a range that does not include any of these possibilities because it just no way to guess, but I want you to keep an eye on that because there's a possibility there of a problem for us.
Thank you, appreciate it. Let me start with some general comments. Again, we've even seen it already that there's headlines that starting with big deficits and that sort of thing. The reality is that's not the case. You mentioned a moment ago the number is going to be zero. That's where it'll end up being because we have to have a balanced budget. There's no budget process that I know of that doesn't start with a lot more wants than there are resources. That is almost by definition the budget process. So when we look at big numbers, be it $40 million, $80 million, $100 million, whatever it is, those are nothing but numbers on a piece of paper. In the end, it's going to have to be zero. I hope that we set a couple of objectives as we go forward. One is to live within our means. The second is to make sure that what we've got to do is build a base. Build a base of a growing tax base. That's what our challenge is. It's our challenge. It's everybody else's challenge. If we don't do that, it doesn't matter what you do on the spending side. You've got to build that tax base. And the third thing I hope we do is not forget that we've got to shift the burden from a base that is too highly dependent on the residential taxpayer back to the commercial taxpayer. And that's largely a cost question, especially as we think about building an investment base in the southern and western part of our city. I can tell you that is going to be dependent on being very cost effective in a world that's becoming much more challenging and much more competitive. So again, we ought to keep in mind the numbers that get thrown around in headlines as deficits, gaps, those sort of things, whatever the semantics are. Those are all just kind of numbers on a piece of paper because the number in the end is going to have to be zero. We're going to have to live within our means, and there's no budget process in the world that doesn't start with a lot more wants then there are resources. That's the situation here. So we haven't got to get too excited as we have in the past years. With that, Mr. Atkins, you have a guess?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, you know, we come to the budget year, budget cycle. I just have a couple of questions, Mary. Number one, we are looking at a very, very difficult budget this year. And I know last year we ended up balancing the budget on October 1, and now we're in the first quarter. This year we're looking at roughly between $99 million and $44 million deficit, you know. But at the end of the day, if I'm running a business and if I look at that number on October 1st and a quarter down the road, I'm looking at probably a $100 million deficit, you know, how do I run a business? You know, we did raise property tax, and we did bring in roughly $33 million in property tax. And as the mayor said, you know, we're trying to build business and everything, property tax. And the property tax due based on the commercial paper, the commercial property holders, and also the southern sectors. You know, if we're going to make sure we get out of this deficit, that we got to increase business opportunities south of I-30 or south of the Trinity River. I'm looking at on page 6, if you go to page 6, the first line, and this really it's a statement that, you know, we need to look at right now. And I don't know, we actually looking at it, you know, the Trinity River, we're looking at, there's a whole lot of commercial property there, values there. And I think I might be incorrect, we maybe 10% on our property tax value is along that Trinity corridor, that Trinity levy. And do you know what was the estimated property tax? You ain't giving me now, but down the road, as of July, what all the appraised property value of the Trinity River, did we have a number? Because I know we don't get those numbers until May or to June or July. When all our property,
we can get them for you for last year, for this year. Yeah.
And the reason why I ask that right now, you are forecasting a $27 million loss, and if we don't recertify our levies, and I know some of the commercial business people, is property value decreasing roughly between 15 to 25% right now. And I know that for a fact, because most of the business community have been calling me and talking to me. And it is a fair statement said, Mary, that if we forecast right now to June or July, we might be a shortfall anywhere from $5 to $8 to $10 million worth of property tax we might lose, because people already hiring their lobbies to go in to reduce their property value. Is that a fair statement?
I would tell you that our goal is to get that done before the FEMA remapping, and I think we have a good chance to do that. So while there might be some loss there, I don't anticipate there being loss, extensive loss, based on the levies, because we're working on a solution that we'll be briefing y'all end of this month, first of next month.
Okay, and I understand we're working on solutions, but to start a solution, that what is that number? And I think as a councilman, we need to know on a quarterly basis, or every 30-day basis, 90-day basis, what is the number we lose? We know they are going to the appraiser district on the Trinity Corridor and say, I want my property value reduced.
But that's only done once a year, and so in July we'll know that.
We understand that. It's done once a year, but as I heard Jean, she said maybe in May or June before we have that number. Is it May or June?
They give us a preliminary number in May, and the final number comes the end of July. So May, June, we'll start getting some information from them, and the final number is the end of July, right before we finalize the budget.
Okay, and as a good business person, a good business company, even though you're waiting for those forecasts in May or June, you still get kind of sense who is going there and saying, hey, I want my proper value reevaluated.
We ask on a regular basis, and they give us the information they feel comfortable giving us. We ask regularly.
Okay, if we do that, I would like to have that information.
Sure.
Because my problem is, I don't want to be sitting here and doing a budget in August that says, hey, we 5 to 10 or $20 million short on the Trinity levy.
You will have a tax valuation the end of July that's firm for January 2012.
Okay. And another question, I guess on page 7, I believe. The meet and confer. I know this is just a forecast, the meet and confer. I know that you got a trigger that based on $8.4 million. Is this trigger consists of what the property tax and the sales tax might be that come up with $8.4 million are. This is said, this is what I'm forecasting, because I know when we did meet and confer, we did say, regardless, you know, what the property tax would be, what the sales tax would be, we still got to make this obligation.
The obligations that are listed with the bullets are, those are ones we have to meet.
That's what my question was, with this forecast right now, is based on the current, what our property tax or our sales tax is today, or is forecast to when?
For next year.
So this is a forecast up until?
Up through the end of next
October
year.
October 1st.
Through the end of next year.
So this is what we said October 1st.
True.
Based on what the sales tax and property tax forecast today.
Yes.
Okay. The other question, like I said, this is we can go very detailed. I'm not going too detailed. Those are my big number items. As Amara said, that this is 30 miles in the air, and the rubber hasn't met the road yet. With personnel, I did enjoy seeing all the personnel that came out with the different, you know, public safety, economic development, and all of that. And doing this, Mary, you know, when you have a very, very tough budget, that you all look at personnel change, you know, the different director change, different department, people associated with different departments, and those people that you rely on to make sure the expenses cut down, make sure everything is run according to a very, very tight ship. And what we're trying to do is run a very, very tight ship. And to run a tight ship, I got three questions you had answered today, but I would you get back with me. I want to make sure that all our city directors, you know, who are in director position, mirror the community. You know, we need to show diversity, make sure that is there. I know our affirmative action plan, we have talked about the affirmative action plan. I want to make sure that we are up on field with the affirmative action plan. And also, you know, when we got directors and whatever, and we talk about education, we talk about how we go back, make sure we got a strong education with DIC, the Dallas Community College, with UNT, all the schools here. But we got to make sure that all our directors, you know, make sure that the directors have the quality education, the background, and the experience to make sure they end those positions. I'm not trying to micromanage the city manager, but we do have a tough budget, and we will make sure that we do have that background, even with our permanent directors, our interim directors, our permanent directors. You know, we want to make sure that we got the best people in those positions to make sure they understand the ways, or we could wait. And that's something you get back with me with those three deals. And at the end, at closing, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, that this is going to be a very tight year. But we got to look at what's going on. We are the council members. We walk around day in and day out. We do see some expenditures that could be cut back. We don't say nothing about it. But I think we didn't look at it. I think we look, you know, we ain't trying to tell Mary how to do a job. She is the city manager. But we also got to say, hey, Mary, you know, I got an idea. And don't wait till August or July to say this idea. I hear the business community is complaining about the property tax. I hear the business community, I don't want to move here because it's real. We need to talk and have a great communication with Mary 101 or with the group. What can we do to save the budget? And that's going to take the community, the citizen, the business, everybody at one to be on the same course, because we are going to have a tight budget. And so therefore, we got to be communicating with each other. We can't just be on one side. We got to be together if we're going to balance this budget and make sure we got a great quarter of life that we've been having in the past. And we don't want to lose that. I know we did talk about furlough days. We said, hey, the first quarter is the furlough days. We'll go back. Depends on the revenue income. But I look right here, we got to, you know, you can't promise down the road. And I got to repeat what Dave Newman said. You know, we promised a contract 3 years down the road, so we obligated to the contract with me to confer, even though we got to pay for that. But we obligated. So when we said that we want to make sure to get the furlough days back, and we come back and say, well, we don't have no money, but sometimes we promise. So we got to be careful what we promise and make sure that what we promise, we got a tight budget and we got the money to pay what we can promise down the road. And we got to do that. And we don't need to wait till the last minute. With that, I will stop.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. And let me chime in. I signed up for next. I'm going to make one promise. I'm not going to be raising taxes this budget. Write it down. Everybody write it down. I will not be raising taxes this budget session. All right. I will make you mine. It's completely on the record. But let me say, Ms. Chipperfield, thank you so very much for meeting with me during lunch in my office and discussing the budget. And I have a much clearer understanding as to where we are, where we're going, and what's in front of us. As you and I spoke, I do want to, Mary, one, commend you for holding these early budget workshops and sessions. I do agree that if we could get something on a quarterly, as Mr. Atkins mentioned, to just kind of let us know where we are, where we're going, and you've been doing those types of things, and I'm sure you will continue. The only thing that I will say, for us not to be in trying to raise taxes, what I would like for us to do is roll up our sleeves, because there's really nothing else for us to cut. Since I've been here, we've had the furloughs and we've added on, and since I've been here, we've had to lay off people and we've cut our budgets, and last year we even raised taxes, property taxes. Enough of that. And what I think, Mary, is that there's still some meat left on the bone, and our city departments and staff are going to have to get out there and get after it. I am not advocating that no one or folks are sitting down not doing their job, but in looking at the upcoming Super Bowl, and when you look at it and put your Jerry Jones brain on, he's selling outdoor tickets, and you can't even get into the stadium to see the game. And he is charging $200 for the ticket to stand outside and watch a video screen. I only give that scenario because what I would like for us to do, there are still some areas that I feel that if we were to do a few more things, it may be $50,000 here, it may be $10,000 here, maybe $100,000 here, maybe, and when you add up those numbers, and then you subtract those numbers after we've rolled up our sleeves and looked under every single rock, there have been things that I've said that I haven't seen put into action, but I want us to utilize every facility, utilize every opportunity that we have affordable to us to find those dollars. So I'm challenging the staff, Ms. Soon, to roll up their sleeves and be even more creative. It's just like here at City Hall, for example, maybe we could have a different type of concession downstairs, a gift shop. We've had it before, and I'm just using it for an example. We may not make a lot of money off of it, but if we can let it pay for itself and make a few dollars, those dollars could go a long way. I've been the one continually talking about that Cotton Bowl, and I'm not going to stop talking about the Cotton Bowl because Southwest Airlines is still flying right over it. It's our Cotton Bowl, Natinsky, and we need to put a sign out there and charge somebody. I wouldn't care if it's GoDaddy.com, whomever it would be. Someone will pay us something to have their logo placed there while every plane coming to Dallas passing downtown fly right by the Cotton Bowl, another facility that we own. I'd love to see in Fair Park some type of wedding reception or some type of folks taking pictures every single day, but the Fair Park staff have to get up and make the call. When you see these people getting married in the paper, the engagements, they're in the paper every Sunday. We should be on the telephone trying to reach out and try to promote. And I say that because things are not falling in Jerry Jones's lap just automatically. They are go-getters. And in order for us to stop cutting, in order for us to have the dollars and not have to have all of the furloughs and not have to cut back and do layoffs, we got to take every single opportunity that's affordable to us, and we got to put it in motion. We have our garage, even though now the parking is only letting the employees and the staff down there, but we have signage space, the same as they have in other garages throughout the city, that is available for sale. So something that we can sell, we have it already. We just have to have the initiative to do it. I'm going to stop because you all know where I'm going. And I'm going only by saying, let's look under every single opportunity that we have and try to turn that opportunity into something that can make us some dollars. And also, I'll say this, as it relates to the delinquent tickets and things and money that's due us, maybe we should intensify our process and our focus on a way to collect. And maybe we use it through community courts, Perkins. Maybe we give them something else to do and bring these people in instead of, and maybe the community court may not be the way. But it is some way. So somebody has come up with something. Because people owe us money. And to write the ticket is one thing. And we paid the officer to write the ticket. And to have the ticket written and then to have to put the ticket into the system, then somebody had to work to put it into the system. Well, we paid them. But the money due from that process is still delinquent to us. And we must figure out ways to make sure that those things are in our budget cycle, that we bring this money back in. It's not just a process that's going over and over and over again and folks just ignore it. So those are things that I'm going to be looking at this budget cycle for us to do, be more creative, be more aggressive in figuring out how we can collect the money that's due to us, roll up our sleeves and get out there and do a much better job in taking the things that are still lingering off the table and put them in the category of a positive. I appreciate the new aquarium. That's forward thinking. I appreciate the zoo, the move that we made there. That's forward thinking. But we're going to have some more. I don't know what it is that we can do. We got to find ways to do something. Now, I'm going to stop for a moment. Ms. Bunseal Jones Hill, you're next. Then Ms. Davis, then Mr. Salazar. Then Mr. Allen, then Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Ms. Bunseal, thank you for your presentation and your work. Likewise to all of the staff members, those who appeared and pulled their names. You're not here now, but you can hear the presentation because I'm certain Ms. Kelly will be listening. Thank you for your work. You do hard work. The gentleman who has worked 33 years, that is commendable. I'm sure at this time he could go home with a full check. I'm awfully glad he's still here. Ms. Bunseal, on slide number 7, related to sanitation, is flow control a euphemism for all of the waste collected in the city of Dallas to go to the McComas landfill?
Yes, that's what that means.
Let me be on record and quite clear. I am adamantly opposed to that idea. That means that we would have more trucks than we have now going to the southern sector. That means that our streets are going to be clogged and we're going to be seen as even more of a dumping site. This is not the first time I've said something about that landfill. It is too late to do anything about it because years ago when folk decided where the landfill would go, some of us were not at the table. And so it went where it went. And it's there. And it is an excellent revenue generator. I'm aware of that. But I do not wish all of the garbage picked up in Dallas to have to come south. I respect the staff's work. There's no one who can hear me who does not understand how much I respect Ms. Film. I do. She is the best city manager in the world. But this idea is an idea whose time has not come. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Ms. Davis.
Thank you. I want to go back to what Ms. Councilmember Hill was talking about. I guess I do have a problem because of
And I know that Ms. Hill, that our city manager is a good city manager, but I guess I have a problem with the way it was put in the budget. Flow control. And I found out about this through the grapevine. You know, people talk. But did we talk about
it? We talked about this last year.
Okay.
And we just said, this is an option we're going to look at in the coming year, and we'll come back to you, and we'll probably be back to you in late spring, early summer, with the details and possibilities, and you can decide. This is not a decided deal. It's just something we're working on.
Okay. One of the things, one of the problems I have with this particular line item on sanitation is that all the trash will be dumped in the southern sector. And I will not be supporting that at all. When we have several places that where the trash can go. And it just makes me feel like the southern sector is just a dumping ground. Just dump it over there. Nobody cares. It's a dumping ground. Yada, 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 yada. The council members, they just talk. Yada, 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 yada. They don't, you know. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with it even being on this budget to be considered. Mary, it is totally unfair to think that we, as here, flow control dumping ground. I'm not with that one. But I will be supporting Ms. Hill on this one. I will be supporting her on this one. I will not be a part of a dumping ground. And I think everybody, we just need to share that. And I understand we need some money, but I just I don't want to do it for the sake of environment.
Okay. I hear you.
Okay. The other thing, and thank you, Mary. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Mary, is the kitchen. When are we going to open back the kitchen? Did that generate any money for
what
us?
What kitchen? The cafeteria?
Uh-huh.
No. The people that were in there lost money. That's why they quit. We've got scheduled to do a grab and go downstairs.
Oh, really?
It'll be like Starbucks. Nothing cooked on site, but you can, well, we hope so.
So is Starbucks going to be a part of it?
No, Starbucks is not doing it. It'll be like Starbucks.
Like Starbucks.
There'll be coffee and wrap things, and which reminds me to ask Forrest when that's going to be done. Two weeks?
Can
okay.
we get Starbucks?
No, they won't. We had bids. They weren't interested.
Okay. The other thing I want to talk about, when we did the tax increase last year, did the money, the tax increase that we did the money go to everything that we asked?
Yes, ma'am, and by the middle of February, you'll be able to see that on the web. We've been tracking. When we close out the expenditures in the end of December and we calculate all those, they'll be on the web so everybody can see what we spent.
Okay.
You kept libraries open. You increase library material. You put back library materials. I've had lots of positive feedback on the property along the state highways. I don't know that I'm really excited about doing the state highways work, but you know,
oh my God,
they look good. And Gilbert in our streets department is doing really good with that. So.
And you know what, Mary? I have to say this while I'm talking. They even decided to edge it up.
I know.
And it looks wonderful.
Yeah.
And I want to. And is that the city who did that?
Yes, ma'am. Y'all voted to do that, and we did it. Yes.
And I was going to give Senator West a call and thank him, but I want to thank you, Mayor.
The county administrator the other day said, you know, isn't the state doing good on the state highways? And I'm like, no, they're not. We are. So the state's not doing good at all on it. We are.
I want to thank you. It just looks really, really nice. And I want to thank you.
A lot different.
Okay. The other thing I want to ask, and Mr. Caraway continued to talk about this, and I want to ask this question. The citizen voted for the beer and wine. How much money do we anticipate off the sale of beer and wine?
Don't know. I mean, you heard the projections during the election.
And that was a huge number that was thrown out there.
I don't agree with that number.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that number.
So who's going to come up with that number?
It'll be difficult to come up because it's not broken out. So it'll be difficult to come up. I think you might see some increase, but some of it's difficult to measure.
Okay. So when will you get back with stuff? It won't be on this budget of any sales that have been made on beer and wine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when can you? I
do not know, but I'm just telling you, I don't know that that's easy for me to get. It's not broken out that way. We'll do everything we can to. But I don't want to make a promise I can't keep.
Do the sale of beer and wine, does it come to the controller's office or the accounting office?
Is yes, but it's just not broken out. So
how does it come? Just one lump sum?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to send
we're gonna look for every information that we can about it, but I'm just telling you, that'll be a difficult assignment.
Can you do a venture line item on beer, wine, sale, or however you can do it?
I will look and see what we can do. I just don't think we're going to give you much information, be able to give you much information.
So, and I'm not trying to continue to harp on this, Mayor, but this is really important. Is any amount of beer and wine sale go back into the general fund?
Yes.
Can you tell us how much?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I can very easily, but we'll try and I'll get the best stuff I can for you.
We don't know what goes back into the general fund when it comes to beer and wine. We just know we get money.
I can make a guess, but the specifics are not available as far as I know. We're going to look and see what we can find.
Okay, Mary, when we do this again, just give me the specifics on what you think.
As much as I can.
As much as you can.
I will.
On what you think we're going to get back into the general fund for beer and wine sales.
Yes, ma'am. We'll do.
Okay, the next question. I have another one I want to talk to you about. I do this off the record with trash attack, Ms. Hill. We have, at least in South Dallas proper, I think the city has done a wonderful job with the vacant lots, cutting them, doing it in a timely fashion, but we still have trash. And it could be from the wind, it could be from people just dumping the trash, it could be from whatever reason. I would like to see if we can look at something and having somebody just pick up trash in certain areas. And we can talk about that off reference to the trash attack. I want to talk about the furlough days. On page 7, you talk about reducing mandatory city leave, and this on the police and fire from 5 to 3 for uniformed personnel.
That is required by the meet and confer agreement.
Okay, and it's in the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can we at least get one day back to the furlough?
I can't promise you that until we see what the budget comes out.
Okay. Okay.
I would certainly like to, but police and fire by meet and confer agreement.
So this is part of the contract.
Right.
Okay. So you'll get
you
back.
You can see on the next page, and I don't remember, is it 8 or the next page?
Okay.
We are suggesting that some of the reduced mandatory city leave days for some of the civilians too.
Okay.
I can't promise you I'm going to be able to do that, but.
But you will let us know.
Yeah. Well, okay. It'll be in the budget. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, the other thing they talked about, she had talked about Ms. Chipperfield, the Encore has filed a rape case.
Yes, ma'am.
What? Give me a little more information about
that. That's about all we have. We'll be back to you with a briefing, but they do want their rates raised. So.
Okay. The employee retirement health benefit.
Yes.
Now, right now, Mary, the city pays, what, 50%?
Yes.
And how much do the civilian pay?
50%.
So it's 50-50.
It's half and half.
Mm-hmm. Half and half.
And you are
suggesting what?
Well, what that says is we think that the cost of health benefits will go up between 4 and 10%.
Okay.
And that means there'll be an increase on the city side and on the employee side of about somewhere between 4 and 10%.
Okay, so that will increase as well. Both.
Right.
Okay. Now, you talked about the CDBG home fund that was a part of...
I have no knowledge of that other than what I'm hearing just as talk in D.C., that that will be part of the budget reduction.
Okay. Do they know we're adding the CDBG?
Nope. I mean, it'll just be our allotment, so that means there'll be less to give to divide up to apply for.
Including in housing as well?
Yep, probably. That'd be my guess. But
so that's what it might come from.
We won't know that for a while. Well, it come for all of it, the public services, to the organizations, the housing programs,
mm-hmm.
all of it will be affected by that.
And then also home fund as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, if that were to happen, then that means we would have to cut back on some of our housing development.
Yes, ma'am, probably.
Okay. And so when will we know about the CDBG funding and the home funding?
They're working on their budget, and there's no time they have to, because right now they're operating under a continuing resolution for this year, so you would hope you would know during the summer, but I can't tell, or fall, but I can't tell you that you would.
And then my last question, what do you have in mind if we're not going to talk about tax increase this year, what do you have in mind to kind of help us balance this budget to bring some additional revenues to our city?
We'll just have to see as we go along, looking at privatization. There's a recommendation in there that you only hire half of the police attrition next year. That'll keep you about the same number of officers on the street.
The store downstairs, something downstairs.
A store downstairs is not going to do anything for your budget.
You mentioned the coffee deal.
Yeah, but that won't bring you any money.
Okay, that won't bring you any money.
No, ma'am. Looking at privatization of everything, looking at full cost recovery. I mean, you may want to raise fees to cover the full cost of what's going on. You know, we're looking at some of the other departments to see what we can reduce.
You're talking like you don't know, or you just
no. I'm talking because I don't have all the details, and I'm not ready to talk to you about it until I have all the details.
Okay, so you're not ready to talk to us.
No,
about it,
this is really high level today, but this is really high level today. But there'll have to be cuts to do this.
I understand.
And that's probably programs and people and expenditures. So.
And so when will you give us all the other information? Because, see, like, what's cut is always the poor people's cut. I call it the poor people's cut.
Well, not always, but, yes, there is some of that that happens, but not always. And I hear your concern for that. We'll be thinking about that.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then you will get back with us in a timely fashion.
We'll be in meeting with you about once or twice a month from now until the budget time on the budget. So.
Okay.
You'll have
now,
lots of impact there.
Do you anticipate this, a sales tax going up next year?
Maybe a little bit.
But not much.
That's only about 21-22% of our revenue, so going up a little bit doesn't help a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Salazar, then Alan Newman, and also Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, you answered a question regarding the hiring half the officers to attrition. I guess the concern would be that we made a commitment to public safety, and we've had some very good numbers over the years. And I know when we did away with the verified response, we took money out of our budget because of the officers having to respond to false alarms. And I know we haven't had a report back if that's gotten any better, but certainly it is a budget impact. So I know that the police and fire came to the table in the last year, and to their credit and to our benefit and to the city's benefit, that they helped us on the budget. So we appreciate the police and fire doing what they did. You know, that being said, police, fire, and all the civilian also took furlough days, and certainly in the discussion leading up to the budget vote, we did ask you, the manager, to look at reporting to us if we're looking at what it would take to return a furlough day to civilian, but also even possibly to police and fire. Have we looked at that, Mary? Have we looked at the? We asked you to report back in 3 months after the budget regarding returning back a furlough day to civilian and also police and fire.
Police and fire have a contract that you have to abide by in the upcoming year, so I wouldn't suggest doing something outside of that contract, number one. Number two, civilians have more mandatory city leave days. We are not to a point that I can tell you ought to give one back this year because sales tax has been better, but you've got other revenues that are down, so that balance is not there yet.
And right now is the appropriate time because we are looking from a $30,000
right.
ceiling looking
right.
down. And there's a lot of moving pieces that have yet to be put together. And I think that was a priority among the council members during the budget season. And, that continues to be a priority. So I want to thank the police and fire who came today. I want the civilian employees who are here today because, the budget is about their jobs, it's about their jobs, and they're continuing to provide the service for the citizens of Dallas. And as the manager last year, you did a good job of balancing everything, and we gave you the tools. And the question is going to be, what are the tools available, given all these circumstances that are happening, whether it's the state budget, whether it's the federal budget, whether it's our local sales, whether it's even our valuations from the appraisal district. I mean, there's a lot of unknown certainties, and our commitment should always be to make sure that we have the best workforce providing the services. And I think from the different panels that came up, you had 2 years, 3 years, 15 years, 25, 33 years. That shows a level of commitment to the city, and certainly that is something that you can't buy. You can't buy 33 years of commitment. There's no price value to replace someone, even with 15 years of service, having to hire somebody new and train them. You'd be going back 15 years to try to get them to the place where you have someone right now. So that's my comments for today. So I want to thank everybody who came here this morning and had to come back for the afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Salazar. Mr. Allen.
I'm going to pass on my comment.
Okay. Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Appreciate that. A couple of things. First of all, Mary, I appreciate your efforts. This is very early in our process, most of us around the table have gone through this many times, and we want to make sure that we don't overreact or underreact, just digest in some of your thoughts. I appreciate you and your staff being involved ground up. I think it's very important. Not many are left or here behind, but they know that you involve them, that you have that visibility. So I think that's a very positive thing. I'm very pleased that we have several council members already going on record saying they're not going to propose or vote for a tax increase this year. That's progress. That's a good thing. Clearly, our job is to balance priorities, and that's something you as a manager have to listen through this whole year process and distill. And so I appreciate that. As far as the budget specifically, Mary and Jean, I'm going to kind of hold my comments. I printed out for those of us in the minority, Ms. Hill, Mr. Atkins, and I that voted for paper years ago. I printed the briefing out, the budget briefing out today in order. So I'm going to do my green pen. I'll probably have to dispense some green pen to go through that to digest these sort of things. So I'll go that way, and then I'll come back with other questions. I'm reasonably confident in your process that you go through on the budget. I didn't say that 3 years ago when we spent our Saturdays, but I am. I'm reasonably confident in that, so now I'm melding into it, so I appreciate that. A comment, Mr. Atkins is not here right now, but he made the comment to the public and to the council about the FEMA, about the Corps of Engineers, about remapping and the impact of property values, and I want to very clearly say to the council and to citizens that are here today or listening or watching, the city absolutely hears Dwight, or Tanella. That's fine, and this is not a negative or positive to Tanella. He just raised the issue, and I want to be responsive to it. The city, the council, the Trinity Committee, the staff are all very much engaged with the Corps of Engineers and FEMA in making sure we expedite the process of getting this satisfactory solution with the Corps of Engineers all along the Trinity, whether it be in the southeast area of the Trinity levy, whether it be in the northwest area, all along the Trinity and the levees. Because none of us want any sense of this remapping. As the manager reinforced, the appraisal reevaluations occur in the June-July time period. Notices go out end of April, so they start May, June, July. So, I'm still very confident, as I think you are as you're shaking your head, Mary, that we will beat any proposed remapping that FEMA has or puts out there. And so we're keeping the pressure on the Corps of Engineers every single day in order to say, give us the satisfactory solution that then we as taxpayers are going to have to implement. And that ticket's coming. And so as part of what we're doing in this next budget process, I'm sure the manager's very much aware of that. But I'm not unduly concerned, Tanel, about an impact on that property tax base yet, because I hear you. I'm not unduly concerned yet. Because I see the intensity that we're pressing with the Corps of Engineers and with FEMA in order to not have that negative effect. That doesn't mean...
Can I respond there?
Yeah. That doesn't...
Okay. And the reason why I want to say that, Dave, all concerned now, if you're a business owner who owns property there, who wants to get refinanced, and they say your equity value is not there,
Well, and that's the problem. And I have some business people that try to get refinanced their property. That's what concerned me, trying to get refinanced when the interest rate is low and they cannot refinance their property.
And without question, that property tax base, what city, Mary, what's our city, what's our commercial percentage? 55%?
No.
So clearly, I mean, that we're very dependent on maintaining property values, not having something like this happen. So whether it be Mr. Salazar's district, my district, Ms. Madrado's district that all surround the Trinity, and Ms. Davis's district, a little bit of Mr. Caraway's district, we're very concerned about that. I just want to reinforce to the public that is a daily process that myself, the Trinity Committee, the staff pressed to do that. So I'm still confident that we as a city are not going to have that. We've had a lot of community meetings to minimize concerns. I'm still reasonably confident that we're going to mitigate that. Is that a fair assumption this time, Mary?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So I'm pleased where we're headed. This is a different range than you did last year. You did a different. You didn't do lesser and greater last year.
No, I did. Yeah, I did.
Did you do lesser and greater? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to do my homework and zeroed out in. I think you're heading in the right direction. I'm optimistic our sales tax numbers will creep up. I'm optimistic we'll hold the line on our property values. I didn't say an increase. I don't think there's going to be an increase. But at least hold the line there, and we'll go from there. So thank you.
I would point out the upper end of this range is less than it was last year. So, yes. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Ms. Hossel.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, I think Jean and Mary, you guys did a great job again of giving us a high-level overview. My concern is on page 8, again, with the civilian personnel. I would just like to ask them to stand up so we can acknowledge them. They've been here. Oh, they're gone. I do think that we need to see what we can do to give one day back. You've got, you know, we haven't given a raise in a long time. You know, we ask our folks to do, you know, huge things for us, and they always come through. So I am speaking up for the civilian personnel to make sure that we consider that and hopefully find some money somewhere to do half or if not all. On the study for the compensation, for HR total compensation study, I get real concerned on these studies because they tend to run more than less. When we farm out studies to outside people, so I would like just some clarification on who we're using to do this.
Well, we will hire somebody to do it because we don't have the expertise. I will tell you what I think it will say to you. I think it will tell you your upper level are underpaid and your lower level that stay a while are overpaid. So it will be people that know about government work, okay? So we'll do that.
But are you saying that they're going to tell us something we already know?
I'm just guessing what it would be, just from my experience.
Okay.
But so it varies.
It will show that we are in line with, it could show that we're in line with other governmental entities.
Yeah, it could. I think what you're usually looking for is how are you with the private sector. But the real benefit of it, because you know generally where you are probably, is it looks at specific areas, maybe engineers, which are critical to getting a bond program out, maybe IT people that are, you know, critical to getting that kind of stuff done.
Okay.
Those particular categories, it offers you an opportunity to say you're not going to be able to hire anybody because you don't pay anything. So, or you're paying way more than you need to there, but don't bring people in at that level anymore. So.
Well, again, I want to be sure that we're getting the best bang for our buck on these studies.
Absolutely.
You know, it's where we generally run over, or we find we could do something a little cheaper. So those are my comments. I look forward to our next workshop.
All right, thank you, Ms. Hossel, and I thank our final speaker, unless anything changes, Ms. Cadet.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, on page 8, where you've got, we know we're going to have to do the 5-3 on the meet and confer, correct?
We're going to have to do what?
Go from 5-3.
On the meet and confer, yes, that's page 7, yeah.
Okay.
Will.
That, so if you keep on the civilian end, if you went from 8 to 3, would that mean the greater impact of 4.1? And if you went the 8 to 5,
be the lesser
would
impact.
Be the 2.4.
Yes.
That's the way up.
Yes.
That's the way I should
yes.
do that.
Right.
Okay. And back on the next page, where we're talking about hiring officers on only half attrition.
Yes, sir.
So if we lose 200 officers, we're just going to hire 100.
Yes, sir. But
right?
You probably won't lose 200. And if we hire for half of attrition, you'll have about the same number on the street.
For sure.
Well,
Well, if we do that, I want to make sure we've got.
Yes,
I don't
you
lose
will.
Lose any officers on the street.
You yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't. That's not what I'm suggesting.
Okay. And okay. And then by doing this, I mean if we left the days the same on the employees. I mean, you mentioned that we're going to have to lose some more employees earlier.
I think there may be cuts here in this budget. Yes.
Employee cuts?
Yes. Yes, it is.
But we're not cutting salaries anymore.
I'm not going to tell you that either, because I can't. I can't tell you what we'll have
huh?
to bring forward for you to cut a budget. You know.
Yeah.
80% of your budget amount is people's salaries. So if you have to, I certainly don't want to. I'm not saying I want
no.
to, but I can't promise you I won't.
Then, okay, the other question is, what do we know the appraisal district's doing, if anything?
Nothing yet.
To increase the values.
Well, the appraisal district doesn't do anything to increase the values. The appraisal district just appraises and then tells us where it is.
That's what I mean. Do we know?
No, and we won't even have an inkling until April or May, and probably May. They'll start talking just a little bit about what they're seeing, and then they'll give us a preliminary, and then the end of July they'll give us the final. We just won't know that information. That's very frustrating, I understand, but we don't know it.
Okay. Okay. So we'll deal with that then when we get there.
Right.
And it may come up.
We're going to keep our fingers crossed and hope it's really good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Seeing no other, thank you. Yeah, you go ahead.
Everybody's done everything. I think one of the key focuses we need to keep our eyes on is we're five months out from when the city manager is going to give us her suggested budget for us to go on break and study and markup. Mr. Newman, you know, I could have populated a park full of trees with the amount of paper you printed over there. Just a joke, Dave. Just joking, Dave. And so, you know, we need to be worried, but, you know, I don't think we need to get hysterical right now about what's going to happen. The concern is that, well, you know, Ms. Sue made the comment that this is significantly less of a starting number than what we started with last year. We have to be cognizant about all the things that we've gotten taken off the table and economies that we've done already. There's less and less to work with as this year goes forward. But I think if we all, you know, get out our sharp pencils and Mr. Newman can get out his green pen and start giving Ms. Soon those ideas now so that we're not waiting until May 30th and all of a sudden, here, Mary, let's all do this or we don't like this. If there are some things that are absolutely going to be off the table, Ms. Soon needs to know that we're not going to support those now, get them off the table, and not spend a lot of time working on them. So we'll look forward to, when are we going to get it? June, what, 30th? End of June. To take with us on vacation. Right, thanks. All right, appreciate it, Mary.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Matensky. Mary, let me just ask one thing. Is there a possibility of ever selling the landfill? You don't have to answer that now, but it's just a thought, and I don't know if that's a good thought or a bad thought.
Landfill and its location doesn't help everybody understand that. The landfill is one of the most valuable assets you have because it's permitted, and they're really hard to get permitted. It's also near to town. The other landfills around here are a long way off. A long way off to haul garbage means your garbage collection fees go up.
Okay.
So.
All right, just wanted to know that. And one other thing I'll be concentrating on in art, but I want to, and I hate, because I look at art as being art, and I want to make sure I have a focus on minority art. and I hate to put that in there like that, but I want to single it out to make sure that as we keep moving things forward, that we make sure that the minority art organizations and groups are looked at and embraced through the entire process. With that, thank you, Ms. Chipperfield. We're going to let you off. And Mary, thank you. And we'll be looking forward and working through this process. You're continuing to do a great job. I have the utmost confidence in you. You know that personally. You know that. Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right.
We continue now with your afternoon speaker. Your first speaker is Robert Cacciarelli, followed by DJ Mayfield. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or become voices while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak today. If you'll notice the timer on both walls, when the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Robert Cacciarelli. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Robert Cacciarelli, 2543 East Ann Arbor, Dallas. I've spoken twice before about the homeless, and I want to give you an update. I had a meeting with A.C. Gonzalez and Ms. Suzanne Durham. Still, Ms. Durham doesn't say anything about the bridge, about the pavilion. I asked her if she would stay there for one night. She still doesn't say anything. I'm getting very frustrated because the only way to feel the need of the homeless is to live like it. And, you know, I'm not trying to get on anybody, but someone has to, you know, step up and see what the homeless feel like and follow the homeless one day. Because without that, there's not going to be any action. And I'd like to read this quote. It's again from the newspaper, Few Options of the Homeless. We have a lot of homeless people who get social services, shelters, mental health services, all of which is not nothing to solve a housing problem. It is not good use of resources to spend all this money, and they're still in a cardboard box. I just want to bring up that, you know, there is housing available, but it takes months and months. You got the Shelter Plus program, you got the LifeNet, ABC Behavioral, Dallas MetroCare, and supportive housing, but that takes months and months. So what happens before that, before they get the housing? Like I said before, there should be temporary housing shelter before they get this more permanent housing right from the beginning. And I said that that probably would have saved Richard Antoine's life because he would have gotten the medication needed and it would have been very, very monitored. I just feel like I'm just being, you know, brushed aside. And I really hope the City Council would understand what I'm saying. I got 18 said, well, last week when I spoke, you talked about graffiti and Love Field, about how to get more tourists in, you know, for Love Field and get rid of the graffiti. I talked about a person that committed suicide, and no one had any reaction towards it. I just wish someone would step up and have response, and they'll respond about what I'm saying.
Take about 10 seconds, wrap it up.
And you know, I'm talking to the wall, but I'm going to be back next week, but I need to talk about more of it because it's very, very frustrating.
Okay. And are you at this address, 2524?
I moved, I just moved.
Okay, from this address.
I got it right here.
All right.
2144 the Crest.
Okay.
LEACREST. Okay. And my number is 214-371-1669.
Okay. Thank you. I'm gonna try to reach up.
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker, DJ Mayfield, not present. Gwen Wooten, not present. Your last speaker this afternoon, Leslie Allen Davis.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035. Leslie Allen Davis, 3035, East Lanbet, apartment 401, Dallas, Texas, 75216. So Barack Obama, over watching my TV, We need a designated section for all the designated apartment on a store in the apartment would leave over 2 minute birds. It would relieve over 2 minute rates. It would relieve cars off the street, take cars in, so we'll have less accidents, because most of the youngsters can't drive. And four, it just be good on less trash, on less trash. We need a store in all apartments to have Section 8. I'm not, y'all putting you down, but I'm trying to help you in the long run. And number two, Barack Obama, we need troops in the Ivory Coast, not UN peacekeeping troops, but United States peacekeeping troops, and we should support Israel all we can. And I got a minute, you know what I'm saying?
And chicken.
Take your time. Oh yeah. City employees, there will be some layoffs this year, so but still try to give your best. And those kids at home with your grannies and your aunt grand and your uncle and stuff, love them all you can. Try to do the best you can when you go to school. Don't worry about the grade, just do the best you can. And keep trying, keep praying. Pray for me above it. And those people that believe in God, pray for me, because I've been doing a lot of bad things lately.
What?
And I want to do right.
What?
I'm not that bad, but it's still bad according to God's law.
Okay. Now, you know Barack Obama's coming if the Chicago Bears win.
If
the Chicago Bears win and go to the Super Bowl, Barack Obama announced that he's coming to the Super Bowl.
Oh, but I don't want him coming down. I don't mind. I like for y'all to conversate with me back and forth, because that makes me know I'm not talking just to the wall. Even though he said something a little off-key, but I still pray. But remember, most of all, let's support Israel all we possibly can. And see, and Sudan, we need to get that apocalypse war. Sudan need to be straightened out. And we need to give back all the land to those colonies of those African nations that was. What do you call it when you take over, when it comes to take over, like England and France take over land, colonization. I guess colonization.
Right.
They get back their land and have their own independent time. Yeah.
You can't have it.
I come in.
Your time is up. All right. Is that
my
most
adjourned?
So
meeting adjourned at 4:24.
Meeting adjourned.